The voice
of Birmingham and the Black Country.
You should take in other religions and treat them as you would want to be treated yourself.
We are even more intelligent. They treated me with the utmost respect.
Ian Lee, Saturdays,
9 till 12.
BBC WM 95.6.
Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Nice to talk to you. Thank you, Molly, for a lovely show. Lots coming up today that, as always, would like to get your input on, please. Including, one of the worst things of summer. We've had some nice weather, not quite so good today, but one of the worst things of summer is when you get blokes walking around topless. Oh, for goodness, did you see it yesterday? If you went anywhere that was vaguely touristy yesterday, you'd have seen a load of blokes without their shirts on. When did that become acceptable? 03453 00956. Other bits and pieces we're talking about today as well. It's Father's Day tomorrow. Let's celebrate the magic of dads, shall we? Let's celebrate them. And also, is it difficult for you to tell your dad that you love him and vice versa? When was the last time your dad said, you know what, I love you? It seems harder for dads to do that, doesn't it? We were taking your calls on that, but also, the thing I want to kick off with is, there have been calls for parents to take parenting classes. And if these parents are on benefits and they don't take parenting classes, well, then they might lose their benefits. Does that seem fair to you? ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. You can send me a text, 81333. Start your text, WM. Or you can give me a call, 03453 00956.
Have your say.
Across the West Midlands, call 03453 00956.
BBC WM 95.6.
Seriously, though, this thing about topless blokes, I had a couple of friends went to Legoland yesterday. Legoland. Is there a more hellish naming country in the world than Legoland? And full of blokes with their tops off. That's not appropriate, is it? When did that become acceptable? I hate that. Why would you? The worst thing, of course, is when you're in a shopping centre and you see a bloke with his top off. Blokes should only have their tops off if they are on a beach. That's the only time that should be socially acceptable. It's disgusting. I can't be the only one that gets upset by this, can I? It does genuinely upset me, and it gets me angry. And I could never, maybe it's a low self-esteem thing, I don't know, I could never imagine being so hot, right, so hot, so uncomfortable in the heat, that I think, I'm going to walk around the town without a top on. Well, I just couldn't do it. 03453 00956. First of all, I guess I need to ascertain whether there are people that agree with me on this. Maybe I'm the only person that thinks this. I'm the only person that's disgusted by this. So give me a call either way, and just let me feel the mood of the nation, shall we say. But also, if you're one of those blokes that does it, if you're one of those blokes that wanders around without your top on, why? Why are you doing it? Could you let me know? Could you try and explain? I want to get into the mind of a pervert, because that's what you are, really. And what makes it even worse, do I say this? Yes, I will. What makes it even worse is when those blokes are covered in tattoos. I hate tats. I hate tats. I say this as someone whose brother runs a tattoo parlour. I hate tats. Oh, yeah, I've got tats because I'm an individual. No, you're not. You're not. You don't see that's just another uniform you've got. Topless blokes with tats. Or, while we're on a tat rant, just bear with me. Sorry, this wasn't going to be part of the show, but I saw a woman the other day with a tattoo behind her ear. So she had some musical notes behind her ear. What the heck was that for? 03453 00956 is the telephone number. If you want to give me a call on tats or topless blokes, if there's anybody out there who can just... You wouldn't get women walking around topless, and I wouldn't want that either. I'd find that a great distraction. Nobody should be wandering around in urban areas without any tops on. It just doesn't make sense. 03453-00956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call on that. I need to feel the mood of the nation on this one this morning, please. Am I the only person that is genuinely offended by people walking around without their tops on? Maybe you'll love it. Maybe you're all up for it and you think, oh, no, this is great. Let's have more of this, please. Or maybe you're a right-minded person like me and you think, no, shameful, shocking behaviour. Stop it immediately. Other slightly more serious things we'll be talking about today include parents. Should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour? This is an interesting one. And I'm not quite sure where I sit on this. This is another one of those things where I'm going to need your help to work out what I think. I know what my immediate reaction is, and then I think about it and it changes. Let me tell you the story. The government is considering docking benefits from parents who refuse to take classes on how to improve their children's discipline, their diet, and their exercise. Remember, there's a story a couple of weeks ago, wasn't there, about some parents that got arrested because they had a fat kid. Well, Stourbridge MP Margot James, who sits on a policy advisory board, is reportedly considering putting forward the proposal. How responsible are the parents for the kids' behaviour? I think they have to take quite a bit of responsibility. Of course they do, the parents. If my boys are 4 and 2, but if they went around causing trouble, beating up other kids, putting bricks through windows, imagine a 2-year-old putting a brick through a window. My 2-year-old is so cute. You kind of go, oh, stop it. Come here and give me a hug. But if your kids are little so-and-sos, stop myself just in time, then I guess the parents do have to take a certain amount of responsibility, a considerable amount of responsibility. But should they be punished to the extent of having their benefits stopped? And it's interesting, isn't it, that this is already we're making assumptions about the kind of parents whose children are naughty. This is saying that it's probably children of people who are on benefits. Well, we know that's not true. We know that posh rich kids can be just as bad, if not worse. But what do you think? How much responsibility does the parent have to take? And should it be such a big amount of responsibility that if their kids are bunking off school, if their kids are dangerously overweight, if their kids are creating trouble, you know, graffiti or vandalism or just being little so-and-sos, should the parents be financially punished for that? 03453-00956. I'd love to hear from you if your parents are little so-and-sos, your kids are little so-and-sos, basically. If your kids are right little urchins and you can't control them. I guess up to a certain age, it is down to the parents. The responsibility has to lay with them, doesn't it? Hey, listen, you've got fat kids, the odds are you're going to have fat parents. You got naughty, disrespectful kids. Does it work the same way? You're going to have rude, ignorant parents? I don't know. 03453-00956. Should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour? If your kid is constantly bunking off school, well, then should you be fined? Should you be sent to prison? Should you be punished for it? There's only so much you can do. You can take your kid to the school gate, you can watch them go in through the front door, then you drive off. But if as soon as you drive off, they're turning around and coming straight back out, what you gonna do? 03453-00956. We'll be speaking to a parent and a parenting coach in a little bit. But this kind of thing, I need your input. I need your stories, your experiences, and your opinions. So maybe you are a parent of kids who just don't listen. They just don't do what you want them to do. Is it your fault? Is it down to you that that's the case, that they don't listen, that they don't obey? And should you be punished for it? Maybe you live next door to... I'm getting told to shut up by my producer, Joe. I'm on a rant, Joe. I'm on a rant. I've not had a rant all week. I feel like ranting. You don't mind me ranting, do you, Barbara?
Yes, I do.
In that case, I'll shut up.
I agree with you, but I must tell you about the chaps walking around without a shirt. I think it's offensive. Oh. It's loutish. and I just don't like it at all.
Why do they think they can get away? I don't understand where it became socially acceptable to do this.
Oh, it's awful. It's so awful. It's ungentlemanly.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that might get me in trouble. It's only common blokes that do it, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
It is, and I don't want to sound snobbish, but there's no way around it. You don't get lords doing this. You don't get members of parliament doing it.
No.
It's common blokes.
It is, and it's lousy. Yes. And I just object to it.
Is there not a part of you, Barbara, that finds it a little bit exciting?
No. I think it's horrid.
Even if it was like a real... Who's your favourite actor?
Oh, gosh, I'm an old lady.
Sean Connery?
Well, yes, but
okay.
I go far beyond that.
Laurence Olivier?
Yes, a gentleman, yes.
So if Laurence Olivier, in his finest, when he was a handsome young man, was walking through Cannock High Street without a top on, would you still be offended?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think if a man without a shirt, it doesn't look right.
Barbara, thank you very much indeed. Wise words. A man without a shirt doesn't look right. 03453-00956. Cliff, stay there. Come to you in a second. It's, where are we now? Oh, my goodness. It's 9:15. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Morning. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. George, could you give us a call back? Producer Jo has muffed up and she's written your telephone number down wrong. Don't worry. She shall be severely punished. She is that. George, if you can give us a call back, please. 03453-00956. Cliff is in Tipton. Morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right. I've got a little bit of a cold, if you want to know, Cliff. It's sitting on my chest, and I'm worried I'm going to lose my voice.
Oh, so it's sitting on your chest. You like that advert? It was a great big green monster.
Yes, that's an attractive way of putting it, but that's exactly where it is. And if I talk too much, then my voice might go. And I know, isn't that worrying everybody?
It's very worrying. I'm sure that all your topics here today will go off on sidelines and end up in cul-de-sacs, but never mind about that.
Thank you, I think.
I must admit, I agree with you about topless men. Thank God, you women here don't go around in the same way. To use the word common, I think, is very apt. You see men walking round, strutting round, shall we say, some of whom should never be uncovered because they've got ski slopes where their stomach should be. Tattoos. I saw a black lady the other day near the surgery. She was waiting here to go in, and she had a tattoo on her neck just behind her ear. And, of course, with a darker skin, you couldn't really make out what it was, but I think it was a flower and a dragon climbing up there or something like that. And I really...
Well, irrespective of the colour of her skin, tattoos, I think, are just an awful thing to want to have on your body. They're terrible.
They are awful, but if you ask anyone who has a tattoo why they do it, they say it's self-expression. Well... quite a lot of the tattoos look exactly the same. You know, they're tribal, aren't they? But I think the tattoos going bare, and when somebody just has shorts on and they reach down to the lower shelf or the sun, and you can see the sun don't shine, is not a very nice thing.
We're drawing up a nice list of things that are very unpleasant about men's bodies, okay? Tattoos, topless, and I'm going to say it, bum cracks. I don't want to see those things. Why can't we dress properly in the heat? Get a nice linen pair of trousers and a thin cotton shirt.
That's how we used to dress years ago. If you look at any photo from the 1960s, even the 70s, with the Brits on holiday at the seaside, everybody has trousers on, everybody has a shirt on, and if you go back even further, they've got a handkerchief tied around their head.
Do you know what? I was stuck in a terrible traffic jam on the M40 yesterday. For 2.5 hours, I didn't move, and I did go a little bit stir-crazy. And one of the things I did, Cliff, was I knotted a handkerchief and wore it as a hat in the car.
Yeah.
There was something very cathartic about it and cooling.
You know what you see as well, which is highly dangerous, is somebody driving around on a motorbike.
Yeah.
They've got shorts on, they've got trainers on without socks, and they haven't got a top on. Now, if they came off that bike, you know, going around a curve or something like that, think of the damage they'd do.
Cliff, thank you very much for that. 03453 009956. I think I know which way the show's going to go today, but it is. I've been asked, do I wear shorts? Very, very rarely do I wear shorts. Very rarely. I don't. Certainly, I'd never wear shorts to work. Wait, BBC WM and other places I work. We, you know, we work in nice offices and nice studios, but sometimes people walk in wearing shorts. Luckily, not those short shorts that you used to get in the 70s that, you know, but knee-length shorts. It's so inappropriate. There was a fashion, wasn't there, about 10 or 15 years ago, it's probably coming back as these things do, of suits with shorts. No, 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 no. It's only in the last 3 years I've started wearing shorts abroad on holiday. Not very keen on showing legs. But topless blokes walking around Legoland, walking around Birmingham city centre, probably walking around where you live. It's disgusting. And it's so easy doing these kind of shows to sound snobbish and arrogant. But it's common people. It's common people. It's the lowest common denominator, isn't it? Isn't it that does it? 03453 009956 is the phone number. Blokes without their tops on. What other misery does summer bring for you? I may sound like a snob. I may sound like a snob, but what else can I do? You know, it's true. You don't get posh people walking around topless. 03453 009956.
Ian Lee
on BBC WM
95.6,
the voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
We're talking about kids. Should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour? George is on the line. Morning, George.
You just dropped yourself right in it.
Go on, what have I done, fella?
About fat kids. And in the next breath, you're on about dropping your kid off at school in the car, with the car. Why didn't you get off your backsides and walk the kids to school? I mean, I live by a school here, and this place in the morning from 8:30 till 9:30 is chock-a-block with cars. Lazy parents bringing the kids to school in the car. All they can do is sit in the car, use a mobile phone, and just bring the kids to school. That's all they got on the brain. Instead of getting off their horses and walking, which they should do, it'd do the kids more good than anything else. This annoys me.
Well, two things.
Coming 200 bloody yards.
Okay, just watch your language, George. Calm down. Don't get upset.
It annoys me.
I know it annoys you, and I can tell it annoys you. Two things. I didn't say I drove my kids to school.
I thought that's what you said. You dropped your kids off at school, you said.
No, I didn't say that. I was talking hypothetically about what you would do if your child played truant. Now, by coincidence, I do drive my kids to school, but that's because it's too far to walk.
Well, why not get how far do they have to go to school, then?
Off the top of my head, it's about 3 miles.
Well, I used to walk up that far to school myself.
Yeah, my boy's 4.5 years old, so,
that's different.
That is different. But also, what we do is we get there early, and then he runs around for about 10 minutes with his mates. So it's not as if we go straight from the car into the classroom. He gets and runs around like a lunatic.
If they got the backside and walked to school with the kids, and it's quite easy for a lot of them to do it, instead of putting the kids in the car and driving school in the car, and all they do is come out of school and they're straight on the mobile phones in the car and away. That's all they got in the brain. Instead of thinking about looking after the health of the kids, walking them to school and their own health as well. That's annoying.
George, would you ever go topless in town?
Yes, I have done.
Really?
Yes.
You sound like a sensible bloke. You must be quite common.
I am common. I'm as common as muck.
Well, there you go. Do you not feel self-conscious or uncomfortable doing it?
No. There's nothing. Why be ashamed of your body?
Because it's disgusting.
It isn't.
But blokes' bodies are disgusting.
Yeah.
George, listen, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much indeed. Well, there's our first person admitting he goes topless. It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it? It's going to be one of those shows, I've just realised, where we go from, you know, quite serious, sensible stuff to talking about common blokes not wearing tops. 03453 009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. The serious stuff is, should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour? The government is considering docking benefits from parents who refuse to take classes on how to improve their children's discipline, diet and exercise. Stourbridge MP Margot James, who sits on a policy advisory board, is reportedly considering putting forward the proposal. Meanwhile, Education Secretary Michael Gove wants to dock child benefit from almost 20,000 parents a year whose children play truant from school. Well, let's speak to parenting coach Sue Atkins and parenting expert and mum of three, Liz Fraser. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Sue, let's start with you first of all. Should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour?
It's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, the thing is, I find with the parenting courses and things that I run, the very parents that you want to come, that could do with a helping hand and a bit of an idea about discipline, don't come on those courses. They see it as a sort of a failure and they're not interested to come. And the very people who perhaps don't need to come always do. So it's a very difficult thing, really.
I suppose by the very fact that you're signing up for a parenting course indicates that you're interested in your children and making things better for them.
Yeah, because, you know, we go on courses from management to marketing, don't we? And we don't bat an eyelid and we don't think we're failing. Yet we never come along to a parenting sort of workshop to explore how we could do things better. Because my workshops are not about pointing a finger and judging people. I mean, it's really challenging and tiring and exhausting bringing up children. It's a bit like trying to tame jelly, isn't it? All wobbles and no rules. So, you know, people, though, in England seem to think it's sort of some sort of failure if you come and want to explore how to be the best parent you can be.
Parents do have to accept responsibility for their kids' behaviour, though, don't they?
Yes, I think they do to a point. I mean, you know, right from the beginning, right from toddler age, how you talk and teach your children about your values and about behaviour is very, very important. And sometimes if you haven't had a strong role model or you want to react against the role model perhaps that you've got, children can get out of hand quite quickly. And if you lose control of your children, which I see a lot of people, I call it handing the keys of the car to the toddler or to the, you know, the teenager, and they haven't passed their test yet. Children need you to be strong. They need you to have firm, fair and consistent discipline so they know where they are. They will push against those boundaries, of course they do. But our job as parents is to push back, to guide them, to talk and teach them, and to bring up happy, confident, well-behaved, you know, adults, really, long-term.
Liz, what do you think? Should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour?
Well, that word punish is so sort of strong in this situation because I think we need to stop looking at it as a punishment and we need to start looking at it as a help, actually, as a help and a support. And so as soon as people start saying, you know, you must go to parenting classes, it's always painted as punitive rather than as saying, look, you're really struggling, okay, you're clearly struggling with this, something's not working, and for your own good and for the good of your children, this is something that we think you really need to do, which will help you and it will help everybody around you, not only you and in your family, but all the other people that your children then come
but
into
no
contact.
One wants to hear that. If anyone says, no, if you suggest to a parent that they're not doing something right, they get very defensive, don't they?
I know. It is the strongest one of all. You know, you can criticise people for the way they live in their house or what they eat or what they do. If you criticise the way they raise their parents, it is a red rag to a bull. The way they raise their children, sorry, is like a red rag to a bull. But I mean, part of all of this is even just opening the discussion and saying, you know, you are failing as a parent, actually, because whatever you're doing, even in the best meaning way, whatever you're doing is not working, because the moment your child leaves your company, or probably even in your company, they behave in a way that is just not okay socially. If they're not going to school, you know, if they're playing truant every single day, and you've tried everything as a teacher or as a head teacher to get that child to go to school, you know, eventually, what is actually left to you? What is left to you to do to get this child to go to school? And unfortunately, all that's left to you is to say to the parents, look, if you don't make sure your children turn up to school, we are actually going to start doing something which you're not going to like very much. Let's help you out here to make things better so that your children will go to school.
Is the threat of removing someone's benefits, and we're kind of making quite a lot of assumptions by talking about these parents being on benefits, but let's just go with that for a second. Is the threat of removing someone's benefits or their child benefit or whatever it may be, is that a sensible threat? Do you think that's fair, Liz?
Well, I mean, each family on its own merit, and I don't, you know, as you were saying there, you know, benefits are very complicated, and who's getting what for what. But again, it will come down to what's left for us to do? Do you know what I mean? I think the authorities are sort of finding that we've tried everything. You know, we've tried this and we've tried that. Okay, let's try this. Let's see if this is going to actually get you off your backside. Get out there, feed your children something decent, stop making them clinically obese by the time they're five, and send them to school so that they can sit down and behave and listen. And it's good for them, by the way. It's good for the children. It's good for all of us. It's not because we're trying to criticize you. Maybe they feel that this is all that's left. Let's try it. Let's see what's happened. I'm not saying that I endorse it, that I think it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying that I think that's probably... They're just trying absolutely everything they can. We've tried parenting class vouchers, haven't we? You know, as Sue rightly said, the people who take these things up are the people who don't need to go anyway. So perhaps they just feel like, well, what's left? Okay, fine, we'll take your benefit away.
Sue, financial punishment for parents that aren't up to scratch?
Well, I mean, I hate that kind of idea, but as Liz says, you know, if these people are consistently not sort of improving in terms of looking after their kids, then perhaps, I know it's a difficult one, but perhaps if that's what makes the change. But what I'd like to see is taking away that taboo and taking away that word, as Liz says, about punishment. How about encouraging, helping, supporting, nurturing, cherishing our kids and helping parents who perhaps are struggling a little bit with that? And it's not, you know, it's not a taboo subject. We all struggle at times with our kids, you know, I have as well. So it's, you know, it's about helping each other and taking away that taboo, I think.
I suppose the thing is, if you take away, you're taking away child benefits, ultimately it's the kid that's going to suffer, isn't it? Because they're going to lose out.
I suppose so, but it's about, this is more than that, isn't it? This is about trying to help the confidence of the parent. That's what's important here. Because sometimes parents lose their way and they haven't necessarily, you know, they want some fresh ideas, some new techniques to help them and nurture them. And when I work with the parents and build up their confidence, give them clarity and give them direction, then of course the whole thing starts to improve. They start to feel more confident, they spend more time with their children, they're more enthusiastic, they start to, you know, you start to look at ways to eat more healthily, maybe just walk to school. A small change can make a big difference in health. So it's not about the overwhelming big steps. It's always about the tiny little steps that make a big difference in the long run.
Liz, some people just aren't very good parents, are they? They might be disinterested in their children, they might not have a clue, they might not care, they feed them rubbish, they let them watch DVDs in their bedroom at midnight when they're 2 years old. Do you think some people just shouldn't be allowed to be parents?
I don't think some people should not allowed to be parents, but I think many people should definitely not be parents. Yes, I think there is a cause. I mean, just look around you. Look around at the people that you see on this weekend. You go into a shopping centre. Half of those people are absolutely dreadful parents. Yes, and that's the fact. That's what we're dealing with now. And I think this idea though about encouragement, about positivity, is so important. And I remember being told, I did some work with the NSPCC quite a few years ago, and I was given one tip which I've always kept with me and has really, really helped. And she said to me, if you see a parent shouting at a child, you know when a parent's really lost their rag and they're in a supermarket and they're shouting at their child and they're pulling them by the arm, most people would step in at that point and say, hey, what are you doing? Stop doing that. And she said to me, what you can do is you can go and say, excuse me, are you okay? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do right now in this situation that would help you? You know, can I hold your shopping for you or whatever? And that it turns the whole thing on its head. And instead of saying, you're being bad, which, by the way, actually in this moment they are, there's a reason they're behaving that way. And to try and put a positive spin on it. And I know that's very, very difficult. And sometimes nobody wants to hear that. But parenting, the reason I write all the books I do, is the reason I do everything that I do in the world that I do, is to try and make people parent better. But you have to go to the parent first, and you have to ask yourself, why are you behaving the way you are? You know, why are you, quote, failing? Why are you not doing this better? Because there must be a reason. If we can tap into that, if we can make you feel better, you will start being a better parent, and that all filters down, you know, from that point.
Sue, this is interesting. Would you go up to a parent? I've seen this happen, and I've not intervened. Would you go up to a parent who was shouting and dragging a kid in a supermarket?
Well, it's really interesting that actually, about 8 years ago, before I started, you know, when I just started my positive parents thing, I was in a sweet shop in Lingfield. There you go. I've moved from there now. And the lady behind the sweet shop asked this mother, you know, she said, "Oh, how are you getting? Enjoying the summer holiday?" And the little child was five, and she was swirling around and turning around in this beautiful little summer dress. And the mother just went off on one, and effing and blinding about how she couldn't wait for this kid to go back to school, how she's getting on her nerves all through the summer holiday. And I had to intervene. I said, she's standing there listening to what you're saying. What do you think she feels if she hears you say that? And what worried me is, what is she saying at home? If she's saying that out in the sweet shop in Lingfield, what on earth is going on at home? So anyway, we had this kind of discussion and all the rest of it. And she sort of didn't think of it like that. It's how you say it as well. And as Liz says, I think the approach is, how could I help you? What could I do to help you right now at this moment? Switch it around. Don't judge the parent. Ask if that you can help them in some way, and be practical. So I think, you know, it's a mindset, and raising children is, you know, a great honour and a privilege, but it is also exhausting, to be honest.
It's flipping hard work. Sue Atkins, parenting coach, Liz Fraser, parenting expert, author, mum of three. Thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956. It is the best job in the world, is being a parent, isn't it? Yeah, it's brilliant. It's flipping infuriating. It's also the worst job in the world. Oh, my eldest last night was being a right little so-and-so. Get into your beds. We had six Bob the Builder stories. It's not a very good book, the Bob the Builder book. Not a lot happens. They just build stuff and celebrate teamwork. We had six stories, and he kept saying, one more, one more. And we got to the sixth. It was three times I'd said, right, this is the last one. And then he got up and was going bonkers. Went and got in bed with his mum. I said, right, get... It was tense. It was hard work. But, and he was getting on my nerves. But eventually managed to get him into bed, and I sang him to sleep. Yeah, that's right. I sing my children to sleep. And if you're lucky, maybe one day I'll treat you to that. 03453 009956. There's a few things that have come out of that conversation with Sue and Liz. The first one is, should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour? Ultimately, it has to be their responsibility. It has to be your responsibility if you're the parent. Up to what, 15? If when they get to 15, they're still a little so-and-so, I guess they have to start accepting their responsibility. Although the implication could be that you failed as a parent. 03453 009956. And also, it's that age-old situation, isn't it? Let's put it out there. You're in a supermarket, you see a mum shouting at a toddler, dragging them along. Would you get involved? I'd go over and sing to them. 03453 009956. Millie's in Aston. Morning, Millie.
That woman could talk for England, and you just as bad as her.
Right? Sorry, what?
That lady just now. I said she could talk for England.
Would she? Sue and Liz, ladies that we booked as our guests. Right, I bet you could probably talk for England, Millie.
Good morning, darling.
Good morning to you, Millington.
How are you today? You are fine, yeah.
Ah, do you really want to know?
Well, there's someone that phoned me and told me they like you.
Who likes me?
A police officer.
Sorry, what have I done?
You're very clever.
I am clever, and if the police are respecting me, then that's got to be something.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Right.
It means they won't find out about my crimes. Yes, Millie, what would you like to say?
Right. No, talking about the parent, yeah?
Yes. Why was a police officer... Millie, why was a police officer phoning you? What have you done?
That's my cousin.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see, right. So you weren't being investigated.
Listen. There's some lads live off my road, yeah?
Yeah.
And believe you me, those children yesterday, they was climbing this tree. And I said to them, get down that tree, you know. And they're climbing and breaking the branches off.
Yeah.
They ignored me. And I said, if you all ever drop and break the hands, I'm not calling the ambulance. I'm going straight home. Now, the mother, she goes in the house with her friends, and they sit in there and smoke the fags or whatever they do. And don't ever look at those children. They walk the street. They run all over down the street. All about, wherever you look, you see those children. Right? The while she do not see to them, the going, the come out, the go to, already you saw at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, them on the streets. What kind of parents are them? I know about stopping the money, I know about locking them up.
How old are these children?
Right, one look like, they're small for the age, one look like 9 and 10, around that age. But they're small, they're not very large children. They're very small for the age, and damn rude. And right. When I talked to them, then they said, you're not getting out that tree. So I walk off with my friend. And then they shouted, Millie, come and get us. Come and get us. I said, get you. You'll be on the floor in a bit. Anytime
I
see them fall out that big tree and break the hands, they said, oh my God, I won't even notice them.
Millie, you were telling off some 9-year-old children for climbing a tree?
Yes.
Let them climb a tree. They're kids.
Hang on. That tree there, yeah, that the council put there, should not be broken down. The limbs, that tree should stop there and grow. Why do you want to go up there and climb that tree and break
the kids. Nine-year-old kids want to climb a tree. We're always saying that our kids are staying in and playing Xboxes and PlayStations and watching Jeremy Kyle all the time. Let's let them climb a tree.
Nothing wrong here, no.
You should encourage them. You should encourage them to climb a tree. You should say, well done, kids.
Why do you want to break the tree branches off? The tree are not there for them to make the street look bad. Now, they go and break off the branches and then leave it hang out there and all of it. No, I'm not into that. The council paid a lot of money for those trees. Let the trees grow. We need the trees for the hurricanes.
We need the trees for the what?
Why are they interfering with the trees? I can see the mother this morning when I come back from shopping.
Millie, did you say we need the trees for the hurricanes?
Yeah. Don't you know you need trees? And for the air, if you breathe, you need the trees.
Yeah. What have trees got to do with hurricanes?
Because it breaks the storm. Like, you know when you got a bad storm?
Yeah, but when was the last hurricane in Aston? When did you last have a hurricane in Aston?
You all had one last week. You all call it a hurricane. Cause what you all call a hurricane or storm, we don't call it a storm. In Barbados, that's what you all call a storm. We just call it the rain falling or the wind blowing.
Okay, and did that tree stop the hurricane in Aston?
They do. Trees. You need trees. If you don't got no trees in the world, that's it. You're dead. Don't you know we need the trees?
I know we need the trees, but I don't think the trees are going to stop a hurricane, particularly in Aston. I know there was a tornado in Birmingham, about 10 years ago, but I don't think Aston is hurricane central.
You never know, Ian. You never know what God will do. You never know.
Well, if God wants to send a hurricane, I don't think one tree is going to stop it. But maybe that's why you've had no hurricanes in Aston, because of that one tree.
If they break down one, they will break down. If everybody going wrong and destroying the trees that the council put up, council got to pay for these trees. That's my council tax that they're paying to buy these trees to put around the district.
Did you never climb a tree as a little girl?
I'm in Barbados. I don't break the trees down. If I climb a tree, it might be a fruit tree. It's not trees like these. We got mango trees, guinea trees, ackee trees, and breadfruit trees. Nothing like this. These are trees that not got nothing on them. These is the bearded fig trees. These are trees that I just put there.
Fruit trees.
I climb a tree to get the mango, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm going to break down the tree limb because they need another mango next year.
So I'm confused. Are you saying these kids should go to Barbados and climb a mango tree?
Go to Barbados. They go to the flipping cemetery for me. I don't care. Going to Barbados. We don't want them in Barbados. They are rude. Very, very rude. And I'm going to see that woman today and I can tell her, either you keep those children from breaking down the trees or I'm going to contact the council.
You're actually going to go and speak?
Send her a letter.
And you're going to go and speak to the mum?
If don't look after the trees, I'm going to council evict her up the road.
Millie, you're going to go and speak to the mum, are you?
Yes, I am going there when I come back from my shopping.
Give me a call. Are you going to do, what time are you going to speak to her?
Well, I'm going shopping about 9:45. And I'm coming back. And when I come back, I will call her. And if you want me to call you, I'll call you.
Millie, I will speak to you later on. I want to hear what we're here until midday. Flipping it. You would not want to knock on the door from Millie, would you? Saying, watch out, keep those flipping kids off that tree. We don't want them in Barbados climbing mango trees. Those trees are to stop hurricanes. Hurricanes? Really? 03453 00 9956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I've had an email. Doreen, stay there. I'll be with you in a minute. I've had an email from Tattoo Chris. Oh, for goodness sakes, what a hideous picture. What's wrong with you? It's a text, sorry. What's wrong with you? Nothing better than walking round topless in the sun. Get a life, have a tattoo, you big girl. Now, let me just say, Tattoo Chris, when I was talking about topless blokes, and when I said that maybe they were a little bit common, Tattoo Chris was exactly the image I had in my head. He's bald. He's a big lad. He's supping on a tinny. It looks like a Foster's, but I could be wrong. And he is covered in tats. Okay, here we go. I'm going to say stuff that you're not really meant to say, but I'm going to say it because I'm in that kind of mood, right? If I saw someone like that walking around, I would feel intimidated, I would feel threatened, and I would feel repulsed. It looks horrible. It looks absolutely horrible. 03453 00 9956. topless blokes. There really is no need, is there? So, two things we've got on the go at the moment. Yeah, I know. Topless blokes. What is it? As soon as there's a little bit of sunshine, blokes whip their tops off. No, no, no. And blokes with tats. Oh, it just really... And also, you'll get... We will get someone phoned up today who says, yeah, I've got the name of my kids tattooed on me. It's because I love them. Yeah, I haven't got the name of my kids tattooed on me because I love them more. Yeah, because I love them more. I remember their names. I know exactly what their names are. I don't need to have them written down. And I certainly don't need to vandalise my body to show my children how much I love them. I just do nice things for them. Yeah, that's how I do it. 03453 009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call about that. And also, should parents be punished for their kids' behaviour? We'll do this up until at least 10 o'clock if you want. We've got lots of phone calls coming in. We've got a text as well. Who's this from? Julia. Definitely stop the benefits. This is for this is parents being punished. These parents are at home, more time to bring their kids up than most, and still they do not look after them. Some kids are like vermin running around. A child was found walking on a street in Birmingham at 10 p.m. I heard this. It was on the news last night. It was said that the parents did not report the child missing until 11 a.m. the following day. What kind of parents are they? Well, yes, you would have to question how you could miss a child like that. Who's been on the longest? Doreen. Morning, Doreen.
Morning, Ian.
What do you reckon?
Well, some of these parents, I think, do. I travel on public transport a lot, and, you know, they push the pushchairs on. Well, yeah. Years ago, you couldn't push a pushchair on, and you'd have to fold it up. And I used to have my daughter on my knee, and when she was a toddler, and say, "East the park, let's see if we can see the ducks. There's a man on a boat, there's a policeman." Half of them, they never converse with the kids. You know why? They're too busy on mobile phones. I hear children in the pushchair say to mummy this, shut up, I'm doing this. And what they're doing, playing on a mobile phone. And I think, well, it really annoys me. I feel like saying something, your child's talking to you, why can't you converse with them?
Yeah, I know. I think it is one of the great crimes of modern technological age is the amount of time that parents, and I've been guilty of it in the past, and I try and be really aware of it, but the amount of time parents spend on their mobile phones, you're right, when they're out
about
with their
playing
kids.
Games,
yeah.
Or texting somebody, and they're more interested in that than they are the children. I'm not going
I've
to say
the
you
parent.
Can't start everybody with the same brush.
No.
But there is a lot. I see young, mostly youngish mothers.
I've seen children. Parents with their headphones in while they're out pushing their babies around.
But even a baby you talk to, don't you?
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, and I've seen how they learn.
They've had their headphones on and the kid said something and they've had to take one headphone out and say, what was that? What?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yeah. I thought, shut up, I'm doing this. You know, a child's supposed to learn from you.
Can you believe, though, Millie is telling eight-year-old kids to get down from a tree? I thought we were supposed to be encouraging kids to do this.
Tree. I can understand that they're not just climbing and playing, they're damaging the tree. That's
well, she sounds like she was against...
They're breaking the branches off and throwing them. They shouldn't do that.
Well, they shouldn't do that, but it sounds like they were just having a little bit of fun climbing up a tree.
Yeah,
they're nine-year-old kids.
Say, they were breaking the branches off, that's what I thought she said.
Yeah.
Mind you, now listen, if they fell out the tree, they blame the council. You know, they say the tree should be fenced off or something. You get this all the time. People let a two-year-old, three-year-old child out in the streets play with others, go in the something, and they go in the canal and get drowned, and they want the canal fenced off. You're responsible for the children, not the council.
I agree, and if a kid falls out of a tree and breaks their arm, it's sad, but that's part of the learning process, isn't it? That's what being young's about.
That you could fall out the tree and kill yourself. We don't know. It could cause bad brain damage, depends how you fall.
Doreen, what do you reckon about people having their kids' names tattooed on their bodies?
Pardon?
What do you reckon about people having their kids' names?
I don't mind, just say one on a man's arm, but I think when women, and when they're near the face and on the neck, I think they look vile. When they have them done, they're colourful, but they all go that horrible grey looking eventually.
Doreen, thank you very much. 03453 009956. The reason I ask, you've got Steph in Tamworth's on the line. Morning, Steph.
Morning, you alright?
Yeah, I'm alright, thanks. You've got tattoos of your kids' names, have you?
I have, and they're the horrible... No, not the names. I've got their faces, and they're that horrible grey colour.
Oh, you've got that... You've got... Right, hang on. How many kids have you got?
I've got, five children.
And how have you got them all tattooed on your...
No, no, no. I haven't had a chance yet. I've only got two on me.
Why did you do it?
Why not? I think I wanted tattoos. I wanted my arm tattooed, and I wanted something that I wasn't going to regret. And obviously, I'm not ever going to regret having my children's faces on me.
Well, you say that, but why not just carry a picture around in your purse?
Oh, because I used to, but my purse got robbed with my pictures out, so I don't carry anything like that on me anymore.
So because your purse got robbed and your pictures got nicked, you've taken the... It may be described as an extreme step of having your children's faces tattooed.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that was the only reason I had them done. It was my personal thing to do. I just wanted a tattoo done on my sleeve, and I just thought, what better thing to have than my children?
Are you going to get the other three done at some point?
Yes.
And what age are the kids on in the tattoos? Are they babies? Are they... I just try to work out what age you're trying to capture them.
They're not babies. They're about 2 and 3, so they're toddlers, but obviously when they're newborns, they all look the same, really, don't they, babies? And then their features come as they get older.
Yeah, they do. Their babies are well disappointing. They do look the same. What do people think? Do people kind of look at it and go, "Ooh, that's a bit common, Steph"?
I get stopped loads. I swear I've had it done, and it's beautiful, but it's really nice.
Do you not think that at some point later... Listen, because arms are wonderful things. They're beautiful things. My arm is unblemished by tattoos. Do you not think maybe one day you're going to go, "Why did I get that done? It looks ridiculous."
No, I think people say that to me all the time. When I'm older, I'll have other things to worry about. Not my health, perhaps. And I think also that tattoos are very popular at the moment, so maybe when I'm older, the people that don't have tattoos will be the minority.
Well, we just had Doreen was just saying that tattoos on blokes is one thing, but tattoos on women is a little bit sad. What's your reaction to that?
I think I see her perspective. Obviously, everyone's got their own opinions. And some women, they do have... The tattoos don't suit them. I just think you've got to be, as a female, you've got to be very careful where you get tattooed, who does your tattoos, the quality of the tattoos, because you want to still look feminine. You don't want to look...
But you can't look feminine with a load of pictures tattooed on your arm, can you?
I think I can, yeah. I think I still look feminine.
Where else are you tattooed? Have you got, what do they call it, the tramp stamp?
I've not got any tramp stamps. I've got my forearm on my other arm done, the top arm of my one arm, my whole back, and some of my legs as well.
What have you got on your back?
I've got an angel with some butterflies and things.
Steph, listen, I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much. You've certainly given us a lot to think about. Steph in Tamworth, who's got a children's faces tattooed on her arms. I don't know what to say about that. She said, listen, I don't want to be rude to her because she sounds lovely and delightful, and she's obviously doing it for her reasons. But yeah, I think I'm horrified by it, and I can't quite put it into words. What do I think? I think it sounds a little bit gross, and again, I don't want to have a go at Steph because she sounds delightful. Why am I horrified by it? I don't know. I love my boys so much, I don't need to express that. I'm looking down at my arm now, and if I had my two boys on there, can you help me? Why am I so horrified by that? 03453 009956. Susan's in Tamworth. Morning, Susan.
Good morning, Ian.
What do you reckon to what you just heard there from Steph?
Well, I personally wouldn't have a tattoo. I don't like tattoos. Many, many years ago, the sailors used to have the anchors on the arms. And
the what?
And that was okay.
But they used to have what tattooed on their arms?
Anchors.
Oh, that's sailors. Okay. Yes.
That is about as far as I would accept it for my opinion. I don't understand at all why women have tattoos. I really, really don't. And sometimes, men and women, they've got like 3 ton of metal pierced in the bodies. That, to me, I just do not understand. I don't like the look of it, but I also think it can have other consequences. If you're looking for employment and you walk into somewhere where you're serving the public or you're having seeing clients, if you walk in, it doesn't matter how qualified you are, how nice a person you are, immediately you are projecting an image, and that company will not like that image. So it can have that kind of consequences as well.
I've said this before on this station, and I've got tons of abuse, so I'm expecting tons of abuse. I completely agree with you. And the worst thing, coppers with tattoos.
I can't ever recall seeing a copper with a tattoo.
Oh, I've seen coppers with tattoos. It's terrible. I don't want that from a policeman.
No, I don't. It's standards, Ian, and I do have to say, in many, many walks of life, many issues, it's all to do with standards. And I think over the years, standards have dropped. The way people dress, the way they project themselves. Yep. To me, it's very important. I don't walk out of my house unless I look immaculate.
I tell you what's interesting, Susan, is the way that these two topics are suddenly converging. We've gone from, on the one hand, talking about parents being responsible for their naughty kids, and we've talked about topless blokes and tats, and they're sort of mixing together. Do you think that parents should be punished financially if their children are naughty?
I think maybe they should be fined. I don't like this attitude that's creeping into society where they're saying, oh, stop the benefits. Because the consequences of stopping someone's benefits is horrendous. You're actually putting them on the path to homelessness and starvation. So I don't get that either. I do think that if a child is continuously playing truant, well, yes, fine the parents. That's what they used to do back in the old days, shall I call it. I know, like, you hit people in the pocket. That really does have the main effect. That will affect people the most. But I don't agree, and I don't like, and one of your listeners have just either phoned in or texting saying, yeah, stop the benefits. No, you don't stop people's money. You don't drive people to starvation and homelessness. That is a dreadful, dreadful path to put anybody on.
Susan, I appreciate your call this morning. Thank you. 03453 009956. And I guess that has to be kind of the key things. If you're punishing parents financially because of their children's behaviour, then ultimately it will be the child that suffers, won't it? Because it's going to be the kids that lose out on, I don't know, food, clothes, whatever it's going to be. It won't necessarily be the parents. And it's interesting how these two subjects have converged. Topless blokes with tats and bad parents. Dare I suggest there's a correlation? Coming up, we'll carry on taking your calls about this, 03453 009956. But also, can we celebrate the magic of dads as well? When did your dad last say he loved you?
The voice
of Birmingham and the Black Country.
You should take in other religions and treat them as you would want to be treated yourself.
We are even more intelligent. They treated me with the utmost respect.
Ian Lee, Saturdays,
9 till 12.
BBC WM 95.6.
Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Well, that was an exciting first hour. The way this show works for our new listeners is you can still call in and talk about the things we've been talking about. A quick recap. Topless blokes walking around in this heat. Oh, no. Why do you do it, fellas? We've not had anyone yet properly call in and say, yeah, I'm a topless bloke, what's your beef? I suggest it's because they haven't got the capacity to pick up the phone and dial. I don't know, I could be being unfair there. Do give us a call. We're also talking about parents of bad children, should they be financially punished? And coming up in this hour, why do we find it hard to say we love our dads and vice versa? It's Father's Day tomorrow. Let's celebrate the magic of dad, shall we? Shall we? Let's try and be loving and kind and warm and open. You can get in touch by texting me, 81333. Start your text WM. Or you can email ian.lee, I-A-I-N.L-E-E at bbc.co.uk. But the best way is to give me a call. 03453 009956.
Have your say.
Across the West Midlands, call 03453 009956.
BBC WM 95.6.
Steve's in Solihull. Morning, Steve.
Good morning.
What do you want to say, boss?
First of all, I've got some beef for you, first of all. Leave
What's
Millie
your beef,
alone.
Steve?
Leave Millie alone. Millie's rang up. She's put a point across, and you are very manipulative. What Millie was talking about is kids climbing trees, damaging trees, and that's her beef. She didn't say there's anything wrong with climbing trees. What
no, she did. Once
is,
I Steve, I don't know if you were listening, but once I questioned her, yeah, she wasn't
was
keen
listening.
On kids climbing
trees.
I don't
think you were listening. That's
no, Steve.
The first thing.
No.
Hang on, I've got several points to make.
Well, you are very manipulative.
You're in charge of this. You've got the button.
No,
you,
I've not got a button,
press
Steve.
The button. You
Steve.
Open talk, people.
Steve.
And you steer the programme however you want
Steve,
to steer it.
Because, do you know why? Well, do you know why? It's my show. That's why, mate. Now, we can get on to your second point, but don't do a hit and run, okay? Let's address the points one at a time. So, you were upset with the way I treated Millie because what? Because I questioned her and furthered the conversation.
It wasn't questioning. You cajoled her into a corner. You moved her into an avenue, in the avenue that you wanted to say.
So what was the avenue I moved
children?
Her into?
You moved her into saying there is nothing wrong with kids climbing trees. That's the avenue you put her
in. Incorrect. Incorrect.
Never
I moved
said that.
Incorrect.
She did not say that.
Well, Steve, you've just said something wrong. You said I moved her into the avenue to say there's nothing wrong with climbing trees. No, I didn't. She ultimately said that she didn't want kids climbing trees.
She said kids climb trees in Barbados. They climb mango trees and they
Yeah, she said she didn't want them over there climbing trees.
She never said that.
Yes, she did, actually, Steve. She said she didn't want those kids over in Barbados climbing mango trees. So, you know, can I suggest you just listen a little bit better? And also, a little bit patronising to suggest that Millie can't look after herself. I've spoken to Millie many, many times. She is well up for looking after herself. So, a little bit patronising.
I never said she couldn't look after herself.
She told the kids off.
I've listened to Millie on numerous occasions.
She told the kids off for climbing trees. And she's going to go and talk to the parents today about not wanting the children to climb trees, and I'm hoping she calls us back and lets us know how it went.
Okay, that's the
next
first point.
Point.
I haven't rang up to ring about to talk about
first,
it.
First point shot down. Let's hear number
and
two.
The other shot down by whom?
By me, Steve. Yeah.
Oh, Daniel.
I just proved.
Okay,
I just proved you wrong.
The other thing is, never judge a book. Hang on. Let's move on a bit, otherwise you'll
embarrass yourself more.
Anything but that. Don't judge a book by its cover. There are a lot of people out there who are not tattooed who are aggressive, violent and nasty. Some time ago, it was deemed aggressive to have a shaven head. And now, look how many men are going around with shaven heads. The military, a lot of them, they are tattooed. They come back, they're tattooed. Are you saying these people intimidate you when they're walking down the road?
Hello? Which people? Yeah, I'm listening to you, Steve. I'm trying to work out where this is going. Am I saying which people intimidate me?
Topless military men walking down the road with tattoos. Are you saying that they are aggressive, nasty, intimidating?
No, I'm not.
Well,
I don't know where you got that from.
What you are saying is you don't like topless men with tattoos,
Correct.
Sporting tattoos,
Correct.
Because you find them intimidating.
I find some
and
of them intimidating, not all of them. No, Steve, you really need to pay better attention. I find some of them intimidating. The rest I find physically repulsive and disgusting and very common.
Very common. That's using your standard. Who said that your standard is the correct standard? You've got a lot of... There's a lot of people that are a lot of nice policemen who are also tattooed. And for you to comment and say, tattooed policemen, we shouldn't have them.
Yeah.
And there you go again. It's so what's wrong with a tattooed policeman? It's like, what about a tattooed medic?
I think it sends out the wrong signal. I think it sends out the wrong signal when you're dealing...
If you've got a surgeon who is tattooed, are you saying that that's wrong?
I'm saying it sends out the wrong signal, yes.
So a surgeon that's tattooed is a wrong signal. By whose score?
I'll tell you what I'll do, Steve. Steve, I'll tell you what I'll do is next Saturday I'll come in, I'll do a really bland show where I don't express any opinion and I sit on the fence and everything.
Steve, not Iraq. I love opinions. And the other one is agree in stopping the parents' benefits.
Why would you want to punish the children like that?
Well, if you one of your listeners said, fine the adult, fine the parent. Well, if you're fining the parent, surely you're stopping, indirectly, you're stopping the parent's benefit. You're redirecting the benefit from the parent into the court system.
I'll ask the question again. Why would you punish the child, though?
Because child benefit is not a right, it's a benefit.
Okay.
And nowadays, there should be a benchmark for parenting. And
Steve. Why would you punish the child by depriving them of money?
Because the parent is punishing the child by denying the child an education.
So you would punish the child twice?
That's not punishing the child. Twice.
Listen, if you're stopping the child benefit, that money is meant for the child, then you are punishing the child. You are taking something away from them.
So what you're saying to me then, when the parent goes to court after the fine, the child is also getting fined.
You're taking money away from the child, yes.
So what you are saying then, just keep the kid, keep the child at home. Do not send the child to school.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm asking is, why would you punish the child? And you've not been able to answer that question.
You're
taking money away from them.
As a parent, there are certain obligations as a parent.
I know, Steve, we're going around in circles, but you're not answering the question.
Well, I'm saying, it's you twisting it. I'm asking you a direct question,
and you can't answer it.
I'm not saying you are punishing the child. What I'm saying is...
But you have to appreciate,
parent,
Steve, that by taking money away from the parent...
Yes. But it's the role is a parent, and as a parent, your obligation is to send your child to school. If you're not sending your child to school, why should you get benefit from the state? From the state, full stop.
Okay, so you think it's acceptable to take money away from the child?
You're not taking money from the child.
You are! If you're fining the parent or stopping their benefit, then that child is losing out.
All right then, let's put it on its head. Do you think it's right in that parent not sending that child to school?
No, I don't. But I do think there must be better ways of dealing with it than financially punishing and depriving the child.
I've come up with the solution, and the solution is take the money from the parent.
You've come up with the solution of punishing the child financially.
You've been a little bit like UKIP. You're coming up with all these things that are wrong. You're not coming up with a solution.
Okay, well, let's make school more attractive. Let's make school more important and more attractive to young people. There you go. And that just came off the top of my head, and already it doesn't involve punishing a child financially.
What are you going to do? Steve, I did think I could, and I did.
Well, I came up with one that's better than yours.
If you make school more attractive, then the child would then go to school when the child
exactly.
goes to
That's why I said it.
But hang on, you can't say but for years, what we've been doing is, school is attractive for the majority.
No, it's not. It's boring and it's dull. Come on, you remember what school was like. It's boring and it's dull.
My school was all right.
Yeah, mine had bits. By the way, isn't this fun, Steve?
Isn't what fun?
This sparring.
It's not sparring. It's voicing an opinion. And I'm glad I'm verbal in England and not Iraq.
I know. Particularly at the moment when the troubles are having. But this verbal sparring, are you enjoying it?
I do. I enjoy life. Nice for living.
I'm enjoying it anyway. Listen, if you remember properly, the most of school was dull and it was boring and it wasn't attractive to 13, 14, 15-year-old kids. Make it more attractive. Then the kids will go. Then you're not financially punishing the children. Steve, shall we shake hands?
I always shake hands. I never leave. It's when I'm right, I'm right. And on this occasion, unfortunately, I think you're wrong.
Steve, thank you very much for your call. 03453-009956 is the telephone number. I enjoyed that. He wasn't going to admit it, but I know secretly Steve was having a good time as well. Morning, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Consider this as a little mental workout for the brain this morning. This is how I like this show to be. And Steve was a cracking sport there. He was wrong on so many things, and he knew it. But he phoned up and he had a darn good try. Well done, Steve. We're talking about topless blokes. We're talking about bad parents. We're also talking about dads as well. It's Father's Day tomorrow. When was the last time you told your dad that you loved him? And I'm guessing it's easier for daughters to say it to their dads than it is for sons to say it. And the other way around as well, I suppose. If you're a, I mean, it's easy for me to say it to my kids because they're 4 and 2. I tell them all the time. But if you're a dad and your kids are, what, in their teens, in their 20s, in their 30s, 40s, is it easy to say that you love them? Is it a generational thing? 03453-009956. I don't often go very schmaltzy on this show. As you will know, I'm quite hard-nosed. But do you know what? What with Father's Day coming up tomorrow, we can celebrate the magic of dads a little bit, can't we? What makes your dad so special? And why are we too embarrassed to tell our dads we love them? Well, Dr. Pam Spurr is a relationship expert, author of The Emotional Eater's Diet, and my sometimes television wife. Good morning, Dr. Pam.
Good morning, hubby.
It's nice to speak to you. How are you? You're right.
I'm so happy to be chatting to you, and I love that sparring. And can I warn you, I'm a black belt in karate, so take me on, Ian, and you'll get payback.
I know. Listen, I wouldn't dare, Dr. Pam. I've done it before, and I've learned the hard way. Why do we find it so hard to tell dads that we love them?
Okay, it's extraordinary. It's 2014, and many people still do things with their dads, but they do feelings with their mums. Mm. And it reveals how incredibly slow social evolution is from a time when ancient men were the hunters and ancient women were looking after the babies, and these different types of relationships arose because children and their fathers and mothers somehow got stuck in these roles. And it still happens. And the sad thing about it, Ian, is that people say to me in my line of work, obviously, my dad passed away and I never had the chance to tell him I loved him. And there is so much regret over this issue, and I'm so glad you're raising it.
Well, I'm just seeing a tweet now from Aladdin on Twitter to you saying, I never told my dad I loved him and now I can't rest in peace. And that's the thing, isn't it? There will become a point when your dad is no longer there and you'll have those regrets.
Yeah, because there you were doing things with him, perhaps in childhood, kicking a ball around, maybe a bit older, he showed you a bit of DIY, and yet with your mum you were relating at a deeper level. And you'd think when you have a kind of straightforward, kind of uncomplicated relationship with your father, because there he was teaching you how to do these particular things, you think it might make it easier to relate in that way because things seem so uncomplicated. But it just shows, Ian, that if you haven't grown up sort of having him maybe, you know, comfort you when you skinned your knee, when you fell out of a tree, going back to one of your other conversations, that, you know, you kind of learn with your mother that it's okay to be yourself, be genuine, you know, let out your feelings, but you still, with dad, you have this much more straightforward, seemingly uncomplicated relationship, but actually it is complicated because you have not been used to discussing these things with him.
Whose fault is it? Is it the dad's fault for being reluctant to say it as their kids are growing up?
It's nothing about fault. And thankfully, many, many men of your generation, my generation, are saying these things to their children. And because they say it from early childhood, as you are with your children, they keep on saying it. But I think there is this kind of generational divide where, you know, it wasn't the man's fault, but he was of a generation where he just wasn't comfortable talking about these feelings. And that means there's probably a lot of men, say, of your generation who never had that kind of relationship with their father.
I miss my dad. My dad died last year, Pam, and we didn't speak for a long, long time. We fell out for years and years and years. And then a couple of years ago, I made peace with him, and we made up and stuff like that. And it was still a little bit strained. It was still that kind of, you know, we don't really talk about stuff. And then we found out he was dying, and he only had a few months. And we were able to finally, with the end in sight, kind of, you know, say that we loved each other and stuff like that. And it was... I'm really glad, I'm getting a bit emotional, I'm really glad we got to do it before he died, because that would have been one of those big regrets I would have carried around with me.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely glad to hear that you're not saying to me, you know, Pam, oh my gosh, I sort of regret all those years we weren't speaking, because, you know, Ian, that was a part of the way you and your dad related or had a distant type of relationship. That was just the way it was. And unfortunately, what I deal with in my work is the people who feel, you know, that they can't move on, that they feel such loss over the years that they didn't have a good relationship with their father. And I always say to them, you know, assure yourself, they knew that, yes, things were difficult, but they still loved you as their child. They would have known that you cared. But let's make sure the message is getting out today. Don't leave it too late. Make it today that you start opening up. And Ian, I always advise, if you haven't actually said, I love you, you can to your father, you can start by saying things like, Dad, you know, you are so great. It means so much to me when we spend this time together. So you can start with just kind of that and then move on to that more I love you, Dad type of stuff.
It's weird, isn't it, that we do find it. I mean, you're right. I am constantly saying to my boys who are 4 and 2, and I don't think they don't quite know what it means yet. But I'm constantly saying I love you, and they kind of say it back. But probably, I would suggest, as a knee-jerk mirroring behaviour. But that's going to carry on as we get older, is it?
Oh, of course. And it's not knee-jerk. Of course, they love their daddy. You know, and to them, yes, love, you know, becomes a different thing as they grow older, and it deepens for children too. But boy, what their ability to feel love is about, they are showing that to you. So that's where they are as a 2- and a 4-year-old. And it's interesting, you mentioned my new book, which is about emotional eating. But a big part of the book is about learning to communicate better in all of your relationships, because that means you're more likely to get your emotional needs met, and you won't be, turning to food to meet your emotional needs. And so right now, you know, you're meeting your children, as lots of other fathers across the land of your generation are. You're meeting their emotional needs by giving them that security that Dad can talk about these things. Dad's there and Dad's fun, but he also does the emotional side. And that's just a wonderful thing.
Pam, always nice to talk to you. No doubt I'll see you at some point in the next few weeks as we bang on about the Big Brother people.
Absolutely. I'm back on Mondays, but they tell me I might see you on a Saturday.
Excellent stuff. I look forward to it. Dr. Pam Spurr, relationship expert, author of The Emotional Eater's Diet. 03453-00956. Oh, I miss my dad. He was a plum. I'll be honest. He made quite a few mistakes in his life. He was a bit of a plum. But I was talking to someone on Twitter. Twitter's weird, isn't it? The conversations you have with strangers. And someone kind of got in touch with me and said, I've not spoken to my dad for 20 years. And I know that you did. What, you know, that you made up with your dad after a while. What was it like? And it was, I did make up with him because I thought at some point he's going to die. This is before he got ill. At some point he's going to die, and I'm going to carry around all of this resentment and anger and frustration and self-hatred and all of this stuff for the rest of my life, so I might as well make up with him. And I did, and then it turned out we only had 2 years, and then he died very suddenly. But it's the best thing I did. 03453-00956. Let's celebrate the magic of dad, shall we? Dot's in Selly Oak. Morning, Dot.
Morning. Lovely to speak to you at last.
Nice to speak to you, Dot. What do you want to say?
Many years ago, we lost my dad, and he was really... We didn't have a lot of material stuff, but we always had a lot of love. And the year we lost him was... Well, I can't describe it, but I wrote this poem. What would you look like today? Would you still have those strong features, or would you have wrinkles? What would you look like today? What would you look like today? Would your hair still be black, or would your hair be grey? What would you look like today? What would you look like today? Would your back still be so straight, or would you be bent over? What would you look like today? What would you look like today? Would your steps still be quick and positive, or would you shuffle along? What would you look like today? What would you look like today? No, you will stay strong, young forever, while we grow old with each passing day. That's what you would look like today. Ian,
I'm listening.
I thought you'd gone.
No, listen, you're very, very lucky, Dot. You are the only poem I'm going to allow to be read on the radio.
Really?
And it was very lovely. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Dot, thanks a lot. There we go, you see. I don't know if she snuck that one under the radar. Oh, we're not opening the floodgates to poetry on the radio. I think that's the only time in the 15 years of me doing radio I've allowed a poem on the air. No more. But, Doc, well done. Thank you very much. Let's celebrate the magic of dad, shall we? If what's so special about your dad? What can your dad do? This is what we'll do. My dad's better than your dad, right? What is your dad better at than any other dad in the world? 03 453 00 9956.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
I like that. My dad's better than your dad. Let's do that, shall we? And did let's talk about saying that you love your dad. Was it difficult for you to say that to your dad? And has the chance now gone? And do you regret it? Because let's see if we can educate some people and stop them making that mistake. Mark's in King Standing. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. What's your dad better at than any other dad?
My dad's gone now. He's been dead about 18, 19 years.
Yeah.
And we were the sort of family that never said, "I love you." You know, it just didn't happen in our family then.
Yeah.
Next year, I'll finish an Open University degree in history. And when I couldn't read or write till I was 30. The one thing I would really like, I'm filling up here, silly bugger, is my old man to turn around next year and say, "Well done, son." Can't happen. It's too late, he's gone.
Oh, Mark, you're making me fill up now. I'm missing my old man.
Yeah. So,
how much would that mean to you if your dad were able to say that?
I'd give 10 years of my life quite happily for it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You know,
but were you ever able to express anything like that at all?
No, it just wasn't done in our family. I mean, we knew he loved us and he would have done anything for us. He'd walked over fire for us. But it just wasn't, we wasn't that sort of family. It was obvious we were loved and we were well cared for. He was never violent. He was never nasty. We were brought up really well, but by today's standards, we wasn't a very affectionate family. But there was lots of love in the house. There was always lots of fun. We were always mucking about, playing silly games, but just we never hugged and we never said, "I love you." It just wasn't done in our family.
You know that he did, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah. No question. There's no question or no. But it would just be nice for him to turn around and say, "Excuse me. Well done, son. Proud of you."
Well, this is two blokes crying on the radio. You don't get that very often, do you?
You know. I'm not a soft bugger either. You know, I've got several martial arts and whatever. But there you go.
Mark, listen, I really appreciate your call, and I'm sure that wherever your dad is, he's very proud of you, and I'm sure he'll be there watching. I'm going to sniff, but I'm not crying. There we go. 03453 00 9956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Hey, here's a good thing that you can do. Write your dad a letter. If your dad's not with you anymore, write him a letter and tell him everything. And then you can either read it out loud at his grave, or you can go and burn it, or do whatever. But that's kind of a cathartic thing to do. 03453 00 9956. We're playing My Dad's Better Than Yours as we celebrate the magic of dads today. And you know, if you want to get a little bit teary and a little bit emotional, why the hell not? We can do that, I suppose, a little bit. My Dad's Better Than Yours. 03453 00 9956. It's weird. All of these things are kind of converging together. We started off talking about the blokes, topless blokes in the heat. My dad used to do the topless bloke in the heat thing, not so much towards the end, but I remember in the 70s. The 70s was full of topless blokes wandering around, wasn't it? Kind of hairy chests, things like that. But it's still, it is pretty grim and it is pretty gross, isn't it? So we've gone from topless dads, we've gone to tattoos, we've gone to bad parents, and should we punish financially bad parents or parents of naughty children? Now we're celebrating the magic of dads. It's all kind of linked up in some way. 03453 00 9956. Ranjit's on the line. Morning, Ranjit.
Morning, mate. You right?
I'm going to blow my nose, Ranjit. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about dads and discipline, about the children, yeah?
Go on then.
Yeah, the thing about dads, you know, if you're in your 40s now, like I am, well, late 40s.
I'm early 40s round you. Come on, don't age me.
Yeah, yeah, but you've been put on the ropes a couple of times today again.
Whoa, what are you talking about? I've not been on the ropes in the slightest.
Oh, you have today. I think, you know that, what, should we just talk about dads first? Or you want to?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I don't want to put you on the ropes again today.
Radjic, you have never put me on the ropes, sunshine.
I did last week, I think.
You did not last week. You were talking out your backside. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about dads. Go on.
Yeah, right, we were brought up by dads, yeah, that their dads were hard men, hard working in foundries, coal mines and that kind of industries, yeah, where they went to work, brought money home, fed the kids, brought them up, and they didn't really, even though they were affectionate, they didn't know what affectionate meant, yeah. My dad, he's 72 nearly, yeah, he's never said to me he loves me, and I've never said to him that I love him, but we do love each other, yeah, because now, my children, I've got a lad, he's 23, and I've got another lad, he's 16. He gives me a kiss every morning when he goes to school, yeah? And I always say, I love you. But the older one, it seems to be like a macho thing, you know, I'm equal to you or I'm bigger to you. But deep down, they do love each other. And I think people like me, when we get drunk and we get sentimental, that's the only time we say, oh, yeah, Mom, I love you. Oh, Dad, I love you. And that's the way we were brought up. You know, it's not wrong, it's right, but I've never bought a bunch of flowers in my life, and I'm 48 years old, you know, for my mum or my wife or my children.
There's a thing, isn't there, when as kids get older, and for me it's around about 15, 16, 17, that they don't want to be with their parents, they don't think it's cool to hang out with their parents and show affection to their parents, and that can go on for quite a while. I'm sure your eldest lad will grow out of that, won't he?
Oh yeah, he does. Of course he loves me because he tells me, you know, his mum, he loves his dad, yeah? But, you know, even in nature, right, you know, when the old lion starts getting a bit older, yeah, the younger lion starts, you know, saying, listen, I'm the new king of the jungle. I think it's a lot to do with that. But, you know, like I say, the old men were brought up the hard way. You know, from 13, 14, they went to work, and that's all they ever did, work, bring money home. And then, unfortunately, a lot of them have died. And the new generation are probably a bit more politically correct, and that's got a lot to do with it. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, the children discipline and that. Why did Michael Gove saying that all these children that don't go to school are on benefits? He's demonising the unemployed again, you know? If you're not allowed...
Well, to a certain extent, but I get child benefit, I think.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I, you know, I'm all right. I'm quite well-to-do middle class.
Yeah.
So I think maybe he's referring to that specifically.
No, he's saying, no. He's, okay, benefits. So what's child benefit now? I don't know. It's about £20 a week, yeah?
I've got no idea.
Okay, say if it's calling £40 for your two children, yeah?
It certainly stocks up our wine cellar quite well, yes.
Right, now the thing is, Michael Gove, you know, for someone that, you know, I'm not having a personal attack, for someone that was adopted, right, he should know how difficult it is, right? Now, if you can't discipline your children now, and then they don't turn up to school, I think the parents shouldn't be punished, right? You should be able to allow to discipline your children, then you will send them to school. Like that thing that's been going on in Birmingham, right? And I'm not trying to be judgmental. A lot of Asian parents are very strict and they want their children to do well. Yeah?
Yeah.
So they force them to work hard at school. Now, if you say that's an infringement of their human rights, you know, when they become an accountant or a doctor or a solicitor or some professional like that, and you ask them, you know, when your parents were disciplining you when you was a child, do you think they were wrong? They will tell you they were right. And even if you're a hands-on person, and, you know, if one of my children was a hands-on person, I would encourage them to work hard and learn a trade, even if it's like motor mechanics or whatever. Right? Discipline's gone out, and it's been like that by the
when I was at school, right, I grew up in Slough, and there's a huge Asian community, Indians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshi, huge Asian community, right?
Yeah.
And you could tell that a lot of those kids, the Asian kids, and I'm generalising, but I kind of need this, a lot of those Asian kids were being queued up by their parents to be lawyers, to be doctors, to be barristers, to have really big jobs, and they had a lot of pressure on them, right?
Yeah.
An Asian girl killed herself because of the pressure that was being put on her.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean,
She killed herself in my school, my years. Terrible.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. You know, yes, you should push your kids to a certain limit, but not too far. Not to the point of where they're going to go and kill themselves, yeah? You should encourage them, right? But the thing is, when you tell children at school, if your parent disciplines you, it's an infringement of your human rights. Yeah, that if a kid wants to go on the straight and narrow.
Now, when you say discipline, what do you mean? Do you mean a good wallop?
No, you don't. Listen, I've never given my children a wallop. I've never done it. Right? I think one time my oldest son and my daughter, when they were about 3 or 4, they were fighting each other. They was going to get hurt. Give them a quick slap on the bottom, and that was it. I've never hit my.
Well, hang on a minute. So you just said you don't wallop them, and no, then you just told me about how you walloped them.
No, a wallop, a slap on the little on the bottom, yeah.
Once you hit a smaller person, you have lost the argument. You can't bring up your kids through fear and shame.
No, you're not bringing them up through fear and shame. You're telling them what's right and what's wrong. And both of my oldest children have been through.
So what's right is hitting people smaller than you, is it?
No, I'm not saying it's right.
But that's what you did.
Now you're doing what you was doing to Millie. You're trying to twist it.
No, I'm not trying to twist anything. Why do people, when they are being challenged on their Neanderthal ideas, why do they think it's twisting? It's not at all. It's shining the spotlight on your inadequacy.
How old are your children?
4 and 2.
4 and 2, right. You know, in another 2 years' time, they're going to be 6 and 4, yeah?
Let me work that out. Hang on a second. Yep, that's right.
They're 6 and 4, yeah? And they're going to be at an age where they're going to start probably wrestling and messing about, yeah?
They're doing it now. Never going to hit them.
Yeah, okay. So
never going to hit them.
No, suddenly they start hitting each other with...
They're doing it now.
With violence. Or play.
Yeah, they're wrestling all the time, they're biting each other, yeah.
Are they play fighting or is it violence?
Well, it starts off as play fighting, then it ends up in tears. I'm not going to hit them.
There's a difference, right, between violence, right, and a little slap, and that's what you're going to get through to yourself, right?
I'm not going to hit them.
No, slapping a little child, yeah, on the bottom, it's not violence.
Rajit, you just said the phrase, slapping a little child is not violence. Hitting a kid.
No, that's not, the violence is punching them and hurting them. You're not hurting them, what you're saying to them is you're protecting them from banging their head against the wall or on the table.
I will talk to them. I will reason. I'll let them bang their head and realise they don't like it. I'm not going to hit them.
See, you're not listening to me now, right? I've told you that when they were 4 or 5, yeah, one time I gave them a little slap and I've never had to do it again. They never cried from the slap. I explained to them, you are fighting each other, you are going to get hurt, and then you're going to end up in hospital, yeah? And they weren't
happy. Why did it need the slap? And we've got to go in a second, so I've got a guest coming up. But why did it need the slap for you to do that? Why couldn't you just explain it to them?
Don't do it and run now, yeah? But maybe I was a bit too young then as well. I was in my early 20s.
So you admit you were wrong to hit them?
No, I don't think I was wrong. No, I'm not going to.
Then why were you saying you were too young?
I was probably a bit too young. I was in my early 20s, yeah?
A bit too young for what?
Too young to probably understand how to discipline them a bit more.
So you were wrong to hit them?
No, I'm not saying I was wrong to
hit
them.
Then why are you saying you were too young?
No, don't twist my words, right?
I'm not twisting your words, I'm questioning you.
I'm saying, say if I'm looking after my grandchildren in the future, yeah?
Yeah.
And I've got the same situation, yeah?
You wouldn't hit them?
I don't know, I can't say.
Ranjit, we've got to go. It's not you're going to consider this a hit and run, Ranjit, but I've got a really great guest coming up and I don't want to keep her waiting any longer. Gosh, Ranjit thinks it's okay to hit young children. 03453 00 9956.
The voice of Birmingham in the Black Country.
BBC WM
95.6.
I just don't think there's. We'll talk about that a bit more. Gosh, isn't this show going all over the place today? I do enjoy it, but I do think if you're a big person, you hit a small person, you've lost the argument. We can't raise our children through fear and shame. Anyway, here's the reason we cut that short, Ranjit. It wasn't a hit and run. It's because I wanted to speak to Georgia. A schoolgirl was badly bitten and scratched in an attack by a dog, which has left her with nightmares. Teenager Georgia Manns was with two friends when the attack took place in an alleyway about a mile from her Walsall home. She was taken to the Manor Hospital for treatment to several wounds up to 3 centimetres deep. Police are investigating the incident. It's understood that the dog, a Japanese Akita, has been seized from its owner. Georgia's on the line now. Hello, Georgia.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining me. If it's not too painful, can you tell me what happened?
Yeah, I was out with all my friends, and then I was walking back home because it started to rain, and there was a dog with a woman walking down the alleyway, because the alleyway is quite narrow and small.
Yeah.
I was walking down there, and then the woman, it bends in the middle, the alleyway does, and then the woman stood on the side to let us walk past, and then the dog started growling at one of my friends. And I asked the woman if it bites, and she said no. And we carried on walking, because my mate was on a bike and the other one was on a scooter, and I was at the back walking. And then the dog just leaped on my back and started ripping into my back.
It leapt onto your back?
Yeah, when I was walking past it, it just leaped onto my back.
I'm looking at a picture of... I've just Googled Japanese Akita. It's a big dog, isn't it? It looks kind of like a wolf.
Yeah, it's like a bear.
It's massive. Did it push you to the ground?
No, I managed to stay up. It was raining as well, so I could have slipped, but I didn't.
So you've got this big dog hanging onto your back. Was it scratching you? Was it biting you? How was it hurting you?
No, it locked onto my back and then started wagging me. Yeah, and it got my bum, at the top of my bum cheek as well.
Yeah.
And that's where it punctured 3 times.
That must have hurt a lot.
Yeah. I was in shock, though, so I just felt the pain afterwards, about 10 minutes after, when I was phoning my mum.
How long did the attack last, do you know?
It was about 25 seconds, 30
right.
seconds. It was quite long.
And how did you get the dog off you?
Oh, kicked it off me in the end, because I was trying to rag myself out of it, and then when I did, it just got back onto me, and then I just... kicked it off me in the end, because the woman was just standing there, because the lead was loose, and she was shouting the dog's name, and the dog's name was Munch, and then I just kicked it off me in the end and run off with my mate.
So the owner was just shouting the dog's name. The owner didn't come and try and prize the dog off you or anything?
No, the woman was just standing there, so I had to get it off myself.
You got the dog off, then what happened?
I run off, because I look back and the woman carried on walking anyway. So I run off and then I phone my mum straight away to come and fetch me.
What did your mum do?
She come and then she took me to the woman's house, and then she asked what does she want to do with the dog then? And then she phoned the police, and then we went to the manor hospital.
And what injuries have you got, Georgia?
I've got punctured wounds and scratches all across my back, and they're quite deep, but they've all scarred over. But the ones on my bum, they've all scabbed, but they're still bleeding now because the scab comes off.
Yeah. And it's left you with nightmares, has it?
Yeah. So occasionally I wake up with nightmares because I think that, the dog's in my sleep and that, and it's affecting my little brother as well. Because he was over the park, the local park, the other day, and there's a big dog over there, because my mum's giving him a phone with credit on, so he can phone my mum.
Yeah.
And then he phoned my mum crying because there's a dog over the park.
So because of what happened to you, your younger brother is now afraid of dogs?
Yeah, and I have flashbacks as well.
And are you seeing anyone? Are you speaking to a doctor or anything?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, Georgia, listen, I wish you the best of luck in getting through this, and I really appreciate you coming on this morning and telling me your story.
It's okay.
Georgia, thanks very much indeed for your time. That's Georgia Manns there. What a terrifying experience. Attacked by a dog. You do kind of have to wonder... We can do the whole dog thing if you want. You do kind of have to wonder, don't you? It's a big dog. It looks like a wolf. Sure, and I I'm a cat person. I don't get dogs. I'm not completely anti-dogs. I just don't get them. But if you're out walking a dog, they should be muzzled, shouldn't they? Shouldn't they? Oh, no, my dog would never attack anybody. That's what you're thinking if you're a dog owner. You just don't know that, though, do you? You just don't know. You've got no idea. They're wild animals. Oh, no, it's all to do with the training. My dog's trained perfectly. Is it? Is it really? A couple of interesting things. We'll talk about these dogs in a second. Let's talk about the dogs now. We'll talk about what Ranjit was saying about hitting kids in a little bit. You've just heard George's story there. Attacked by a dog. She's having nightmares. You could tell she was upset. She's 14 years old. You could tell she was very upset. And very brave of her, I think, to come on and tell her story. I'm not a dog fan, okay? I don't hate them. I don't think we should get rid of them. I'm not a dog fan. But surely they all need to be muzzled, don't they? Don't they? If you've got even the tiny ones, because those little ones, they're vicious little so-and-sos, aren't they? They need to have a muzzle. They should be on a lead. Unless you are in a fenced-off area specifically for allowing dogs to run wild, then they can do what the heck they want. 03453-009956. Lots on the go at the moment. It's like spinning plates. We're playing My Dad's Better Than Yours as we celebrate the magic of dads. I've put this out on Twitter, at Ian Lee. Well, these are the ones we've got so far. David says, my dad's better at racism than yours. Steve says, mine was best at paragliding until he decided to try and fight a mountain, then lost. Mandy says, my dad's better than yours at avoiding being a parent. I don't know, Mandy. I think my old man could give yours a bit a run for his money. My dad's better than yours, 03453-009956. And do you find it hard to say you love your dad? Do you find it hard to say it to his face? It's tough, isn't it? It's a weird one, that. It's a weird one. Do give us your calls. I've been in tears. We had another caller. Was it Mike who had me in tears earlier on? Oh, we're both mourning the loss of our dad. And we're talking about parents. All of these things are kind of linked. I will manage to link dogs in soon. Don't you worry. But we're talking about parenting and bad parenting and kids being bad. And Ranjit phoned up and said how he'd smacked his kids when they were younger. I can't imagine smacking my boys. Can't imagine it. I will never do it. I get very frustrated, and I can see how people who don't have the tools in their armory that I have could end up smacking their kids out of frustration. But once you hit a small person, you've lost the fight, haven't you? Haven't you, Edgar?
I don't know, to be honest, what planet some of you is from, to be honest, because, look, the Bible teaches me that foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him, all right?
No, the rod of correction, here we go.
Right, okay, yes.
Was it spare the child, spare the rod? Is that the phrase?
Right.
Do you know what the rod is?
The rod can be the word. The rod can be the physical rod.
The rod, it doesn't mean... It doesn't mean... let me clear this up for you, Edgar. The rod... spare the rod, spoil the child. The rod doesn't mean a physical stick. It means education.
Look, I said to you, I just said to you, it can be the rod, it can be the word. It's down to your interpretation.
Well, why do you interpret it as an actual rod, or do you interpret it as the word?
It can be both. It can be both. For me, it's both. It's both. My mother used to say, you tell it once, you tell it twice, you lick it in thrice. Okay? The Bible says in the latter days, Adrian, that the heart of the child shall be returned to the parents, and the parents' heart is given to the child. I am in this country for some years, and I've seen where little children mistreat their parents. I drove buses, and they tell the parents all sorts. They kick them, they do all sorts. Now, this is not a society that is teaching children morals. I mean, when I said I don't mean that everyone, it is rotten. And if you look at, I don't know if you've ever seen Jeremy Kyle show.
Oh, do you know what? I watched the Jeremy Kyle show for the first time in years yesterday. And what a disgusting program that is. What a disgusting program.
Of course, because it's not being done in their home, so therefore they go out in the public to wash their dirty
linen. Edgar, you're saying to me, it's interesting you interpret rod as an actual physical stick as opposed to what it's supposed to be, the word or education. You're telling me I should parent my children via a 2,000-year-old book that's been translated about 30 times into different languages. And also, the way to teach children that violence is wrong is to hit them.
You see,
do you not see that that doesn't make sense?
No. You see, this is where you all go wrong in this country. You are telling me about a 2,000-year-old book. I want you to understand that the only book does not get old, it's the Holy Bible. You understand?
Okay.
This is why this country is going down the pan as it is heading today, because you throw out the baby with the bathwater, because you are so educated that you can paddle your own canoe. But if you move away from the Holy Scriptures, the only way you are going is down
Edgar.
The road. Yeah.
Edgar,
yeah.
You're telling me that the way to show children that violence is wrong is to hit them. Can you not see that's an oxymoron?
You are twisting.
You're talking
words
about
again.
Kids fighting and kicking on a bus.
Right. You are twisting words again. Listen,
I've had enough of this. Why is it whenever I challenge someone's thoughts, I'm told I'm twisting their melons,
yeah,
their words?
That's what you are doing, because you are wanting to sound the way you want it to sound.
Let people know it's wrong to hit small people. That's all.
Listen. You want to let the government of this country... But look at it, Adrian. Look at it.
It's Ian, Edgar. You don't know who you're talking to.
Ian. Sorry about that.
That's all right, Steve.
Look at it this way. This government says you should not call a child. You should leave the child to grow the way he wants to grow. Don't touch it. Leave it alone, like you are saying today.
No, I'm not saying... No, Edgar. The government is not saying leave a child alone to grow the way it wants to, and neither am I. All I'm saying is you cannot hit a child if you want to show them that violence is wrong. You can't control them through violence, fear, and shame. We don't do that.
Why does God give children parents? What is the parent's role? Just to leave the child to do what it wants to do?
No, I'm not saying that, Edgar.
So there are
more tools in your armory that are bigger and clever and better than a slap around the legs.
So why is it the children of this society is so vile? Why is it? And then at the end of the day, the government trained police marksmen when they become criminals, when they become notorious, trained police to shoot them and kill them.
Hang on. So you're drawing the fact that the police have shot somebody. There's a correlation between that and not smacking children.
No, I'm saying when the children are not brought up properly and become, at the end of the day, they become notorious. You say they should not be smacked on the legs. You are saying that they should be left alone in that way. Now, at the end of the day, Ian, they are being shot down like birds. Where the correlation?
Edgar, I've got no idea where this is going. Who's shooting down whom like birds?
No, I am saying to you, you're not listening, are you, really?
I'm not following the really weird, random tangent you're going off on. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying you should allow kids to do what they want to do. Au contraire, Edgar, the role of a parent, you asked what that was, the role of a parent is to bring up your children to be loving, kind, empathetic, warm, generous, artistic, creative, beautiful people. You can do that without hitting them.
And you are talking madness, to be honest.
Where's the madness in that?
Because you see, look, every child, we were all born in sin. The nature of sin is in a child's behavior. That's why you don't teach a child to do wrong.
So you beat it out of them?
It comes natural.
You beat it out of them?
Pardon?
You beat it out of them.
No, you can say that.
No, but I'm trying to get to what you're getting to, Edgar, because you're talking about kids being born in sin. No child is born in sin. Every child is born innocent and beautiful and perfect. It's
born,
the parents...
Then you need to go back to the Holy Scriptures.
No, I'm not going to go back to the Holy Scriptures. All children are born beautiful and perfect and wonderful and innocent.
You are so wrong.
Edgar, I'm going to let you go now, Edgar. Thank you very much indeed, because I'm not... Always got me a little bit angry. Every child, right? Every child, doesn't matter who their parents are, doesn't matter what, but every child is born beautiful and perfect and pure and innocent. It's what we do to them that messes them up. It's what we do as parents and as society that messes them up. Kids aren't born in sin. What a depressing outlook that is. 03453 009956 is the telephone number if you want to give me a call. Rob's on the line. Morning, Rob.
Morning, Ian.
We're all over the shop today, mate. You want to talk about muzzling dogs, do you?
Yeah, you brought it up. If you remember, we had a little debate last week about cats and dogs.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You were the one. You were the one who had cats getting stuck up trees. Yes, well done.
Yeah. What I was going to say to you is, for once, mate, I agree with you. I think all dogs should be muzzled when they go out in public. I muzzle my dog every time she goes out for a walk.
Hang on a second. This is Rob, yeah?
Yeah.
You're agreeing with me?
I am.
Is it April the 1st? What's going on? It does confuse me, and it does upset me when you see, and it's big and it's small dogs, the damage they can cause. And we heard Georgia's story there, and you could tell Georgia was very upset. And it is a rarity. It doesn't happen all the time. It's not all dogs, but it's not worth the risk, is it, Rob?
No, as I say, I muzzle my dog every time, and you do get long children grab hold of the mother and say, oh, look, that dog is muzzled, and they shy away. But some do come up to me and say, do they bite? I say, no, she doesn't bite, but the problem is, you see, I'll put that muzzle on for my peace of mind, because you never know.
Thank you, Rob, for saying that, because you're right. So many dog owners phone up and say, my dog would never do that, but you don't know, do you?
No, it only takes, somebody come past in the car, the loud music, or the beep of a horn, or somebody dart out of an alleyway drive and just startle the dog. You know, that muzzle is on that dog, and it gives me peace of mind.
Rob, listen, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956. You just don't know. Oh, my dog would never attack anybody. You don't know. All it takes is something to scare it, a bee to sting it, a colour to distract it, and it's away. What a busy show. We're playing My Dad's Better Than Your Dad as well, if you want to give us a call. What's so special about your dad? 03453 009956. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6.
The voice
of Birmingham and the Black Country.
You should take in other religions and treat them as you would want to be treated yourself.
We are even more intelligent.
They treated me with the utmost respect.
Ian Lee, Saturdays
9 till 12.
BBC WM 95.6.
Suddenly it's 11 o'clock. Those first couple of hours have flown by. If you've just tuned in, where on earth have you been? Lots we've talked about, more to come. Let's have a cheeky little recap, shall we? The sun has got his hat on, and that's literally all of the lyrics I'm allowed to say on the BBC now after recent scandals. But what it's done is it's encouraged a load of blokes to walk around with their tops off. With their tops off! Is there anything more disgusting than blokes walking through shopping centres or towns or theme parks with their tops off? Why on earth do they do it? And I don't want to sound snobbish, but I'm going to. It's common blokes, and they'll always have tats. They might even have his nipples. It's really unpleasant. I don't want to see that. Have you done it? If so, why? Get in touch. You can text 81333WM. You can email ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. Phone number coming up soon. Other stuff we've spoken about. Should bad parents be fined? Should they have their benefits taken off them if their kids don't go to school, or if their kids are fat, or if their kids are misbehaved? Also, it's kind of got us onto the whole smacking thing, which is not something I always talk about, but Ranjit said it was all right to smack your kids. Edgar phoned in and said that all kids are born in sin, and we should, if you spare the rod, spare the child. That old cliche. You can't hit kids. And you'll get people phoning up saying, well, I was hit as a kid and it didn't affect me. Yeah, doesn't matter. You can't hit kids. You can't hit people smaller than you, because as soon as you do that, you've lost the argument. Particularly when you're trying to stop kids from fighting. What? By giving them a wallop? Doesn't work at all. Shame on you if you hit your children. And dogs. I feel like we should be talking about the legalisation of cannabis and bringing back hanging with these topics, but never mind. Dogs, they should all be muzzled. All of them. Oh, my dog would never bite anybody. You don't know that. 03453 009956.
Have your say.
Across the West Midlands, call 03453 009956.
BBC WM 95.6.
03453 009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. All dogs need to be muzzled. All of them. Because you never know. You never know if they're going to turn or if they're going to kick off or what they're going to do. All dogs. 03453 009956 is the phone number. Mike Mullen is from the Dunsmore Canine Consultants in Coventry. He trains dogs and is a member of the British Institute of Professional Dog Training. Morning, Mike.
Yes, good morning.
We need to put muzzles on dogs, don't we?
We don't really need to put muzzles on dogs. We probably need to put muzzles on some dog owners. I think we've got to get the thing right.
It's not the dog owners that are biting children, is it?
No, but it's the dog owner's fault if a dog bites someone because they haven't socialised or trained the dog correctly. If you socialise a dog right from a puppy, or if you get a dog from a rescue centre, you socialise it correctly, you bring it up with good manners, you take it to your local dog training club so the dog is under control, you won't get the unfortunate incidents that we keep getting. Also, the other side of the coin is, a lot of people don't know how to approach a dog, and particularly children aren't taught how to approach a dog or respect a dog.
You can't blame it on the kids that are getting attacked.
Well, no, it depends how and where they get attacked. Obviously, we can't talk about recent cases, because it'd be sub judice. But there's too many instances where a child has not been taught not to walk up to a stranger's dog and stroke it.
No, Mike, you can't put the responsibility on the kids. I mean, this girl who's 14.
It's the parents who have got to teach the kids.
No, it's the dog and it's the owner of the dog. You can't, if a kid goes up to a dog and kicks it in the whatevers, then yeah, of course, that dog is going to attack. But you can't blame the parents and the children that are being attacked.
Not if someone's walking down the road and the dog attacks them, of course you can't. That is the owner of the dog, no ifs, buts or maybes about it. But if a child walks up to a strange dog and attempts to stroke it or cuddle it and gets bitten, then that is the child's fault. It's the parent's fault for not teaching the child that it doesn't do it.
No, Mike, I'm quite upset and offended by that. Yeah, of course you should teach your kids how to do it, but if you've got a dog and it bites a kid, whether the kid has stroked it or not, ultimately it's yours and the dog's fault. If that dog was muzzled, then that kid wouldn't get bitten.
Do you know, that is the most crazy situation I've heard in the 64 years I've been...
Well, it's no crazier than you saying it's the kid's fault if he goes up and gets bitten by a dog.
Well, there's 10 million dogs in this country at the moment.
Right.
10 million. Every week of the year in this country, two ladies, women, get killed by their partners. You don't get two people badly bitten by dogs every week of the year.
Mike, yellow card. I'm not going to let you make the comparison between domestic violence and dogs. There's no comparison at all, mate, and you know that. That's a low blow.
There is, because if we're not prepared to socialise our dogs, train our dogs, and train our children, and train everybody else, then we're going to get an instance. Under the skin, a dog is a wild animal, but it's also now a domesticated animal. Regardless of the dog's breed, if it's brought up correctly, if it is socialised correctly, if it is trained correctly, that dog will not bite anybody. I've always kept a minimum of 5 or 6 dogs, and they've always been big, outgoing, working breeds. German Shepherds, Dobermans, Rottweilers. I've done everything with them, from showing them, from working them, obedience competition, the whole works with them. In 64 years, I've never, ever, ever, ever had one of my dogs bite anybody.
You've been very lucky.
No, I've not been lucky. I've brought my dogs up correctly.
Every time we hear a story of a dog attacking someone, the owners always say, but he was so well trained.
Don't. Most times a dog has bitten somebody. I've done over 300 court cases, so I really do know what I'm talking about when it comes to assessing temperaments of dogs. And the amount of times I've been called in by the defence to go and look at a dog that's bitten someone, and I've gone to look at the dog, some of the dogs, not a problem, I can get them home. An awful lot of the dogs have been brought up terribly, they've been treated terribly, they've actually been brought up to be nasty, and they're the dogs that are biting people. You get these young lads who walk a dog down the street on a lead, never, ever, ever socialise it, never, ever attempted to train it. All they've tried to do is bring the wrong side of the dog out, because they think it's clever to have an aggressive dog on the end of the lead. Now, that's that's the sort of dog that's going to bite somebody.
It's not always, Mike, it's not always the case. It's not always the case. It's often, quite often it's family pets as well that do it, that have been trained. The thing is, you've said it yourself, a dog is a wild animal. We've domesticated it, but it's still a wild animal. That instinct is within there. You cannot control it. You cannot train that instinct out of that wild animal 100%. You just can't do it.
Well, unfortunately, I disagree with you strongly there.
And that terrifies me.
I've been responsible for the training of somewhere in the region of 9,000 family pet dogs and probably about 3,000 working dogs.
Well, you want to put the blame on the kids that go and stroke a dog for getting attacked, which I think is shocking. I think that's disgusting.
If a child walks up to a strange dog
and gets bitten, it's the kid's fault.
Well, of course it is, because it should have been the child should be brought up not to approach a strange dog.
The owner should be brought up to bear in mind its environment and everybody around. Can I just put this out there? Am I completely wrong on this? Mike is suggesting that if a dog bites a child because the child has walked up to it, it's the child's fault. I strongly disagree. 03453 009956. Maybe I've got this completely wrong. I nearly swore then, Mike. That would do none of us any favours.
Absolutely.
Mike, stay there. Mo's in Tamworth. Mo, you want to join in, do you, Mo?
I do, yes. I'm familiar with Mike through Radio WM. He's been on many times over the years. And
of course he has,
wrong,
yes.
I do think he's wrong on this one, regards to children. But Ian, listen.
Go on.
Large dogs, especially, by law, should be muzzled. When I see a dog with a muzzle on, I immediately feel safe. I immediately feel relief. You know, other people, if I feel that, other people must feel it. And most of the problems, the most serious ones, come from, and Mike would agree, come from people who are called and are irresponsible owners.
Yep.
They don't socialise their dogs. I've got people in my area, three of them in the direction that I'm looking at the moment, that do not walk their dogs. Now, a dog needs...
Well, that's bad, and you'd have to... Yes, obviously, that's bad dog owning. But, Mo, stay there, because Terry's in Perry Bar. Terry, you disagree with Mo. You wouldn't want to put a muzzle on your dog, would you?
Well, my dog in particular, because he has been trying to socialise. But there is one thing that I always do, and it's not fear. It's when he takes me for a walk, and there's a child in a pram on the same side of the road, just for respect, I cross the road. But he loves people and people love him.
He's not taking you for a walk. It implies your dog's got the control and not you.
No, I realise that, but it's my fault. I've humanised him too much. But the reason I let him lead the way is because let him go where he wants to go. Otherwise, if I'm in control of the walk, I take him where I want to go.
But Terry, you don't know, you never know with a wild animal, and this is the point I'm trying to make. I know Mike strongly disagrees. We'll get you back in a second, Mike.
Yeah.
You never know with an animal what it's going to do. Surely, just to be on the safe side, you should put a muzzle on it. A muzzle doesn't hurt a dog, does it?
Well, he'd probably be in distress, and he's only a tiny thing anyway.
But those tiny things are vicious little so-and-sos.
No, he's not. He's adorable. But then
to
again,
you?
I think it's the owners rather than the dogs. And what annoys me more than anything, just to get slightly off the subject, I do wish that these idiots will clean their mess up after them. I always do.
Well, we're going off on a pooey tangent, which I think we can avoid for today. Terry, Mo, thank you very much indeed. But Mike, and you've been a good sport, Mike, this morning. I appreciate you coming on. In conclusion, you think that it's all down to training? You can train this instinct out of a dog?
Absolutely. It's very, honestly, it's really, really, really rare for a properly brought up dog to ever, ever bite somebody. If by law, every dog had to have, from birth, a logbook, the name and address of the breeder, the new name and address of the new owner, the name and address of the veterinary surgeon, and the details of the dog training club that dog had to go to. And you should not be allowed to walk a dog down the street unless you have attended dog training lessons, where your dog has been properly socialised, properly trained, you've been taught how to handle and bring up your dog. If your dog is not trained properly, exercised properly, fed properly, then you can end up with a dog that is a problem. Too many people get a dog for the wrong reasons. They get the wrong breed of dog for themselves. Somebody, I want a guard dog. They don't want a guard dog, but I want a guard dog, so I'm going to get myself a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd or a Mastiff.
Mike,
I haven't got a clue how to handle a dog.
Mike, I've got to interrupt you there because I'm going to be late for the travel. Thank you very much for that, Mike Mullins. He's a good sport. Dunsmore Canine Consultants. I don't agree with him. There's something in the air today because I'm getting quite angry about some of these calls and some of these subjects that we're talking about. I thought today was going to be nice, calm, celebratory. We are still celebrating the magic of dads. We're playing My Dad's Better Than Your Dad. My dad was better than your dad getting money off stuff. He would walk into like Dixon's or Boots, the proper high street stores, and he'd haggle with them. He'd haggle with them in Dixon's. It was so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. Oh, I spent 3 months working with my dad in Pakistan years ago. With the home of haggling. It's a long story. I won't bore you now. The home of haggling. And he was in his element. Man, you could see him come alive just going through all these markets, dealing with all these people and getting the prices down. But when you're buying a TV... What's the best price for cash? Dad, it doesn't work like that. It did, actually. You're in Dixon's. What's the best price for cash? Oh, I can't really do... Let me speak to your manager, son. He would do that. Let me speak to your manager, son. All right, man, what's your best price for cash? And it would work fantastic. God bless you, Dad. 03453 009956. We're playing My Dad's Better Than Your Dad. Let's have a little recap. It's been a really odd show. And I've enjoyed it. It's been quite argumentative. I've enjoyed that. I hope you do as well. It is like a little mental workout on a Saturday morning, isn't it? As long as we all shake hands at the end of the day. What have we done? We've covered some classics. We've talked about topless men, how disgusting it is. Tattoos, how disgusting they are. We've talked about smacking kids. Some really old-fashioned views on smacking kids. I genuinely think... I was smacked as a kid. It didn't do me any harm. Doesn't mean it's right. My mum, I used to be a biter, right? And I used to, I remember biting my sister a lot. And I bit the cat and I bit his paw and I threw him down the stairs. Toby. Oh, terrible. And to stop me, I was three, to stop me, my mum rolled up my sleeve. Yeah, I bit the cat. I bit his paw, threw him down the stairs. I was three. My mum said, "Why did you do that?" And this is my genuine answer. He put his paw in my mouth. Yeah, I know. He put his paw in my mouth. So, to teach me a lesson, my mum rolled up my sleeve. She sunk her teeth into my forearm. She bit me. Now, it didn't do me any harm. And I never bit again. But... doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean it's right. This would have been 1976, 1977. She didn't have the tools in her toolkit that I've got now, that we've got now as a society. She could have sat me down and explained it to me, talked to me, got withheld treats, done other things. Biting me, yeah, you can reason with kids at three. Biting me was not the right thing to do. It was a quick fix. It's given me a good story to tell 37 years later. But once you hit small people, you've lost the argument. I will never, ever hit my boys. And I think if you do hit your children, it shows a lack of, I don't want to say intelligence, because maybe that's not quite the right word, but I have got to that point of frustration, of anger with my boys, where I could see how I could hit them, but I've managed to avoid it. 03453 009956. It isn't right, is it? It isn't right to hit your kids. There are better ways of doing it. I strongly, strongly believe that. We're also talking about muzzling dogs. Muzzling dogs, not Muslim dogs, muzzling dogs. 03453 009956. Rose is on the line. Morning, Rose.
Hello there. Morning, Ian.
Rose, what would you like to say?
I agree with you. Dogs are not 100% fully trained not to bite or attack. they are a wild animal, and it could be the scent of a person that triggers that, but certainly they can't, that cannot be totally eradicated from them. They are, there's always that danger that they will bite or attack. Big dogs, your retrievers, Rottweilers, German, they are not for the public domain, and they're certainly not for the domestic household. They're working dogs. The only dogs I would think that were acceptable in a normal house were the toy dogs. I'm a cat person.
Good for you. Very sensible.
Beautiful animals around, but you've got to put the animals in the right place. And most big dogs get frustrated in small households. They need a lot of exercise, a lot of attention.
And so, people, when they buy dogs, they don't really realise, you know, you've got to walk them a couple of times a day. You can't. It's not really fair to leave them in the house on their own when you go out to work. They take a lot of care.
They do, and people, they think just feeding them and taking them for 5 minutes somewhere or opening the back door, but no. But they're working dogs. Most big dogs are working dogs for a specific reason. They're a breed, they're a gun dog, they're a retriever. The only little dog that I wouldn't have as a pet is a terrier. They bite instinctively. They can just bite any time, usually ankles and legs.
Rose, what do you think about what was saying, how if a child goes to stroke a dog and the dog bites, then it's the child's fault?
Well, you should not approach an animal.
And of course you shouldn't.
No,
but sometimes kids are curious and they do.
No, well, that's silly, that is, and then they're asking for trouble if you do that.
But if the dogs were muzzled, then that wouldn't turn into an incident, would it?
Not officially, I suppose, but if I was the owner of the dog and somebody did that, somebody's been injured, so you deal with that, obviously. But as far as somebody prosecuting you, but there again, as I'm saying, big dog, if it's a big dog, they should not be in a public area, except, of course, the one and only who do wonderful work, and that's guide dogs. Those are the only dogs that can be. But even then, you've got to be. You're not allowed to touch those dogs anyway.
No, you're not supposed to interfere with the working dogs. Rose, thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956 is the telephone number. You know, I've mentioned this before. The guide ponies. I've mentioned the guide ponies before, haven't I, producer Joe? I don't want to demean the work of the guide dog. Oh, have I not? There are guide ponies. Honestly, this is absolutely true. They're like really tiny ponies that are the size. I'm looking down to the floor as if I can try and imagine one. They're the size of Labradors, right? Maybe even a little bit smaller. And they're ponies, and they guide blind people. I promise you this is not a joke. This is a genuine thing. It's the most wonderful thing. Google guide ponies, right? You're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. Christine is on the line. Morning, Christine.
Morning.
How much would you love a guide pony?
I wouldn't.
Really? Why?
I wouldn't.
Why?
I haven't got room to put it anyway.
It's only a small pony.
I don't care.
Oh. They're so cute, though.
No. They might be cute, but I would prefer a baby elephant.
A baby elephant?
Yeah.
Wowzers.
I love elephants.
Why elephants so much?
I just do. It's the only animal that cries real tears, and it's the only animal that you can accept as almost being human.
Hang on. You're talking about elephants, not monkeys, yeah?
No, not monkeys, no. I like monkeys as well, yeah.
Well, let's be honest, we'd all, however much we agree with animal rights, we'd all love a monkey that dressed up as a bellboy and served cocktails, wouldn't we?
You don't dress animals up.
No, you don't.
No,
I agree with you.
Supposed to be dressed up.
No, I agree with you completely.
I've got a little dog, and she's not a little dog, she's a little person to me. She knows everything I say, and she does everything and comes everywhere with me. But I found up, you know, about dogs biting kids. I think kids want putting on a rope and took round like the type dogs. My daughter has got a little puppy Springer Spaniel. Beautiful dog. They take her to puppy training, and they was in Withall Park doing the puppy training. This evil child on the swing, a dad's buyer, decides, oh, I'm going to throw this stick at that dog. She's only a baby. Threw this stick at my daughter's dog, hit her on the head. The poor dog screamed out, didn't know what had hit her and what for. And this, the dad said, what have you done that for? Because I wanted to.
How old was the kid?
I would say she was about 4 or 5.
Well, that child should have known better.
Well, this is it. You see, this is what I'm saying. You're saying dogs shouldn't bite, dogs shouldn't do this. Dogs are provoked. Now, she didn't bite.
No, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Sometimes they're provoked, but they're not always provoked. Sometimes, you know, a dog can be provoked by, a bee stinging it on its backside.
Oh, yeah. But she was just standing, inquisitive as she is. What's that? I haven't seen that before. It was a swing. And this little girl swinging. Oh, I'm going to throw that stick at that dog. Hit it on the head. Now, you know, that is going to make her, if my daughter and son-in-law weren't responsible people, that would make that dog wild and angry. But my daughter went and picked her up and loved her and told it was okay. It was just a naughty child.
Keith has emailed in, Christine. Keith agrees with you. Ian, it doesn't follow that the smaller the dog, the more nasty they can be. Our Scotty is a small dog, but he's never shown any aggression, and we can take food off him while he's eating, rough him up, and go into his face.
Yeah.
It's the bad owners who cause bad dogs, and I've come across some very nasty cats.
It's what you tell the dog to do.
No, you're wrong.
Bits in front of her, a bit of food, and say, leave. And she will sit and look at it, and she will leave it there, staring at it, until they say, okay, you can have it. And then she'll take it. She's a gorgeous little dog. She will be trained eventually to be a gun dog, because that is what they are. Springer Spaniels are gun dogs, and they're trained to go and fetch. She won't be doing that, because they only do clay pigeon shooting. So they can't go fetching clays. But as for dogs, some dogs, I don't like staffs, and I don't like Rottweilers, and I don't like Labradors, the other big dog.
Yeah.
But I, at my age, I'm 74, but I wouldn't be daft enough to go up to a dog, a big dog, and stroke it. I mean, there's a fella by me got a beautiful...
Yeah, but you're not 4 years old, Christine. No, a four-year-old might do that.
This is what I'm saying. Children are worse than the dog.
You can't blame a child, a four-year-old child, for going up to a dog and stroking it.
No, for throwing a stick at it.
Yeah, well, that's a different thing. If a four-year-old child runs up to a doggy to stroke it and the dog bites it, that is the dog's fault.
Yeah. Now, my little dog, people come to me and, oh, what a lovely little dog. And I always say, don't touch her, because I don't know whether she's 10 years old, she never has bitten anybody or gone for anybody.
Yet.
I always say, and especially children... don't touch her, because she doesn't love children. She might go for you.
Christine, thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956. I didn't finish Keith's email. First of all, he says it's the bad owners who cause bad dogs and cats, and I've come across some very nasty cats on my rounds when I worked. Well, do you know what, my nan's cat Ozzy was an indoor cat, a house cat, and he was a very nasty piece of work. But then Keith says, children do far worse than any dog. Perhaps kids should have muzzles. Well, it doesn't... Why are kids getting such a hard rap today? Have I missed something? What's going on? 03-453-00956. Saying that, Keith, I've noticed there's a bit of a comeback for what I used to wear in the 70s. No, not flares, nor dungarees. Those reins. My mum used to make me wear reins when I was a kid. And I would be like walking a dog. And I thought we'd got rid of them, but they've started to creep back in recently. Have you seen those? Terrible things. Irene, are you there?
Ian.
Hello, Irene. What would you like to say?
Well, I've been a dog trainer for over 25 years. I've trained all breeds of dogs. Basically, German Shepherds at first. Now I train all breeds. I owned two German Shepherds myself. I've owned two or three dogs.
Yeah.
I've now only got the one dog left because I've just lost one. Didn't lose him, he died. I've got a nine-year-old white German Shepherd. She's as soft as a brush, and she's also a pat dog. All right, I don't work as a pat dog for the last 12 months.
What does a pat dog mean?
It's pets as therapy.
You can take them
into schools and hospitals.
Yeah, we spoke to someone last week about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And she's as soft as anything. But I wouldn't say she wouldn't protect me, because she's a guard dog. She's also a working pat dog, well, when she was working. But she will guard me, so I would be careful of who approached her or who was approaching me, and I would tell her to sit and wait, and then I'd tell them, whoever it was, to stroke the dog after I'd authorised it. And that is being a responsible owner.
That is being a responsible owner, and you're right. I think there are owners who are, well, they're idiots. They shouldn't have the right to vote, let alone be able to own a dog. Because you do see a certain type of lad or a certain type of bloke who wears tracksuit trousers, has got tattoos on his neck, that's walking a dog that's just basically an extension of his willy. That's what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've seen them myself.
But there are still people who train their dogs and, bring their dogs up well, and those dogs still turn. It's a wild animal. You can never know.
Yeah, sure, it's a wild animal, but you can control it. I don't think you can ever take the wild dog out of it.
Yeah.
But you can train it to behave and be a reasonable behaved dog.
Hey, Irene, talking about certain types of blokes, did you see any blokes walking around yesterday with their tops off?
No, because I wasn't out yesterday. Not only to my dog club on last night.
Oh, did you not go out? It was gorgeous yesterday.
I was in the Guardian.
Oh. Do you like it when you see topless blokes walking around? How does it make you feel?
Not really. Not if they've got big flabby tummies and tattoos and...
What if it was a Brad Pitt walking around? Would that make a difference?
Oh, yeah. If they've got a nice six-pack.
Irene, thank you very much indeed. She just melted a little bit there. Oh, yeah. See, I don't get it. If they're fat, flabby blokes with hairy backs and tats, is disgusting. And if they're buff blokes with six packs, well, it's intimidating. I feel less than. So, no, not a fan at all. 03453 009956. Marie's in Coesley. Morning, Marie.
Morning.
What would you like to say?
I had my dog put to sleep about 8 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, you're not sorry. She had a cat.
Oh, blimey. Well, I'm not sorry. What happened?
I knew you'd say that.
No, I am sorry to, because people who don't own pets don't realise how important they are, and that they become members of the family, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But at the end of the day, it's an animal.
You don't sound that bothered.
Yes, I was bothered, but I was less bothered because the fact is I've got seven grandchildren,
right.
And after I saw her turn on this cat, and how long it took me to get the cat off her.
So what happened then?
The cat wandered into the house, just sitting in the conservatory, and she just had it clamped onto it for about 10 minutes. I couldn't get her off. Fortunately, she only had skin, so I managed to get the cat out of her mouth and throw it out the door. I think the cat survived, but I got a blood poisoning infected elbow off the cat, and I thought if that was one of my grandchildren, I just wouldn't take the risk.
What type of dog was it?
It was an English Bull Terrier.
Okay. Why would you get a dog like that?
Well, I didn't actually want to. It was my daughter's, and then when she had a baby, I said I'll have the dog because I don't trust her, and I had her for 6 years, and I never took her out where there was children. She was in a cage in the house. I thought I'd got her under control, but obviously not. So she had to go.
So hang on a second. You kept the dog in a cage?
No, I didn't keep her in a cage. When I had my grandchildren round, right. She was caged.
Okay.
And Mike Mullins has been on, and I've had a lot of advice off him, and I think he's a fabulous bloke, but I disagree with him about it being the kid's responsibility. I think totally no. It's the owner's. So, as a responsible owner, I had her dispatched.
And had the dog ever done anything like this before, or shown any kind of instincts like this, aggressive instincts?
She wasn't aggressive, that's the thing. It wasn't the aggression, it was after listening to that little girl, it was just the fact that I couldn't get her off.
Yeah.
And I thought, if this was a child, I wouldn't stand a chance. So I thought, I'm not going to take the chance. She's had 6 good years with me. Goodbye.
Permission to speak freely, Marie?
Yeah, go on.
You sound relieved that she's gone.
In a way, to be fair, because she was a bit of a nightmare. Like, I didn't muzzle her, but she never went off the lead. I used to take her to the park in the evenings when I knew there wouldn't be people about. Well, I just didn't take the chance with her because I didn't know her history. She was a rescue dog to start off with. So I think she had a good life.
That's the problem, isn't it? With a rescue dog, you can train a rescue dog, but you've got no idea what abuse it's had.
She's been abused. I think so, but she had 6 good years that she wouldn't.
What's that in the background?
That's that blasted parrot again.
Flipping it! I'd ring that thing's neck.
Oh no, she bites harder than a dog.
Yeah, I bet she does. Marie, thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Cheers, my dears. Ta ta. 03453. 009956. Rescue dogs. I mean, hey, I don't want to do the rescue dog business out of business, but you've got to be really careful getting a rescue dog, haven't you? Particularly if you've got kids, because you don't know what's happened. You don't know if they've been beaten up, whether they've been kicked around, how they've been mistreated. You've got no idea. 03453 009956 is the phone number. Danielle's on the line. Morning, Danielle.
Morning.
What's the weather like in Tipton today?
It's not too bad. It's a bit cloudy, but it's quite warm. Quite muggy,
I
think.
Yeah. I do. It's funny you say muggy. I haven't heard the phrase muggy for ages, but yeah, it is. I know what you mean. It's a little bit. Are you looking forward? This is what I meant to talk about for the whole show, and now we've only got 20 minutes. I've just remembered. Are you looking forward to England and the whole World Cup thing unfolding?
I'm not even intending on watching it. I don't like football.
Well, do you know what? I don't like football. Contractually, I was forced to watch the opening ceremony in the very first game. Boy, oh boy, that was dull. But I was wondering how people are going to avoid the World Cup for the next 3 or 4 weeks. What are you going to do to avoid it? Because it's everywhere.
Oh, I just moan at my husband when he changes the channel on the telly.
So he's going to be watching it all, is he?
Oh, he likes football, but I don't, so...
Here's the surprising thing, but producer Joe, who I've got a tiny bit of respect for, I lost a lot of it yesterday because she was on. I'm following her on Twitter, and she was just twittering and tweeting loads of stuff about the World Cup and showing bits of goals and things like that. And already, I'm bored of it.
Yeah, it's only been 2 matches at the moment, is it?
Yeah, I know, and I'm bored of it already. Anyway, 03453 009956. Let's get some tips in the last 20 minutes of how you're going to avoid the World Cup. But that's not what you called in about, is it? What did you want to say?
I called in about all this about dogs. I've actually got a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. It's my second one.
Yeah.
And my current one's only 12 weeks. But my previous Staffordshire Bull Terrier, we had for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
We would still have her, but she got run over. Basically, the lady who phoned up previously saying that bigger dogs shouldn't be around the public. I don't think that's right, personally. I understand, obviously, they're bred from wolves are wild, but not all dogs are like that. In fact, there's no bad dog, it's how they're brought up. If they're trained correctly, you don't have any issues with them. I've got 3 children, my eldest is 4, and I would never, ever leave my children unattended with a child. And also, if I did feel that my dog wasn't confident outside, like if it would attack anyone, it would be muzzled, and that's that.
But how do you know that? You can't anticipate that.
Oh, the only thing my dogs ever do is lick. They don't growl or bark or anything.
So what have you done? How have you trained them so that you have completely crushed that animal instinct from them?
Well, I don't really let them bark or growl. I've never let them do that. If I do that, they have to go in their own, like... because obviously we've got a tall baby gate between our kitchen and living room.
Right.
If they ever seem like, obviously children can be a bit much, if they ever seem like they're getting a bit fed up, they have to go in the bed in the kitchen and the children aren't allowed around them.
That dog could get over that baby gate though, couldn't it?
Well, no, it's 5 foot.
You reckon it couldn't climb over?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
And also they're not allowed to, they know that.
But the very fact that you notice that the dog is getting irritable or irritated with the kids, that indicates that they're not completely under control.
No, I mean, it's not so much that they're getting irritated, but if you watch it, I think that would irritate me.
I've got quite a short fuse, so that would, if my kid was poking me and pulling me, that would irritate me. So yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll just put you out. Just put you out for a bit. And but this, what, just going to calm down.
But what you're doing is you're humanising the dog. You're attributing human reasoning and emotion to the dog when it is a wild animal. All it takes is for a kiddie to kick a dog in the wrong place, tread on its foot, bite its tail, poke it in the eye, and that dog, just out of instinct, will turn, won't it?
Mine's had all that done. When we had our first one, my daughter was only, well, she wasn't even born, and she grew up, like, playing with her, pulling her ears and things, and even though, like, obviously, my daughter, oh, stop doing that, even though, obviously, my daughter knows now not to do things like that, and we as much as we tried to teach, well, for instance, I've got a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, and we tell them, like, you don't do that, don't do that. So I think, in a way, you have to teach children to respect the dog, but obviously my first child, she's a bit of a fan of animals, and she's really hyperactive around animals.
Yeah.
So our first dog, she kind of got the brunt of that, but she never, ever growled, showed her teeth, barked. Even cats, she liked cats, she liked kids. On the one occasion, my husband did let her off a lead, and she did knock a child off a bike trying to lick her to death.
Hey, hang on a second, but still, it's knocked a child off a bike.
It wasn't like a big bike or anything, but we did, like, really apologise.
But there you go, and you say it was licking it, but still, you knocked a kiddie off a bike.
Yeah,
that's not fair on the child, is it?
No, we did apologise, and she was okay. We did apologise to the parents.
Okay. Danielle, listen, thank you very much. 03453-009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Susan has emailed. We have three beautiful cheese? C-H-I's. There's not cheese. I'm going to a cheese restaurant in the week. Imagine that, a restaurant where all they serve is cheese. Anyway, we have three beautiful cheese. They are little cherubs. How could you not like my beauties? Let me just open the picture to have a look. Oh, that's horrible. It looks like a weasel. I imagine that some folk would like to muzzle you by some of the calls you've had this morning. Yeah, but Susan, the difference between muzzling me and muzzling a dog is I'm not going to, bite a child's ear off, am I? You might not like what I have to say, but I'm not going to sink my teeth into the sweet young flesh of a child or an old person or anything like that. Right, it's the last 15 minutes. It's flown by today. Thank you so much. Last 15 minutes of the show. If we could get some tips for those people who are not looking forward to the World Cup, how on earth are you going to avoid it? We're kind of lucky that a lot of the matches are late at night, but still. And that opening ceremony, I've never seen a World Cup opening ceremony before. So I guess I've been spoiled by the only opening ceremony I've seen is what was that thing we did? The Olympics. The World Cup opening ceremony, it was rubbish, wasn't it? It was rubbish. What do we have? We had trees on stilts and children with balls tied to their legs and Jennifer Lopez and the bloke from Right Said Fred in a giant Terry's chocolate orange. And that was it. Couldn't hear a single thing that was going on. The sound was done by the same people who did the sound for Jamaica Inn. It was awful, wasn't it? 03453-009956 is the telephone number. Are we speaking to Mark Regan? Mark, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing? You're right.
I'm fine. You know, a few moments ago you were talking about men topless and all that malarkey.
Yeah.
And you said, fat, ugly blokes.
Put your shirt on, Mark.
But the thing is, I'm carrying a pound or two. I don't mind admitting that. I've had me back waxed.
Oh.
But when I walked past your producer in my Speedos this morning,
yeah,
there was a look in her eye. I've got to tell you.
She was surprised because, as you know, I do the show naked for medical reasons.
Yes, obviously. Yes. Well, don't we all these days?
Yes. So she was surprised to see a man wearing any form of clothing.
The look that she gave me, it was like I was an object. I don't mind telling you that. I was an object.
I'm not a massive football fan, right?
I've gathered that.
Have you picked that up?
Yeah, you can drop me one or two hints.
I was contractually obliged to watch the first game, and I watched the opening ceremony. Was that a really bad opening ceremony?
Apart from the London 2012 opening ceremony, bore the backside off me, to be honest with you. It's all gumph. It doesn't really matter. So I agree with you about the opening ceremony. I'm not going to agree with you about the World Cup, but the opening ceremony is just a bunch of dancers, really, isn't it?
It was a little bit silly.
Yeah. I don't know why they do it. I don't know who had the idea. We're having a football tournament. Let's have some dancers before it gets underway.
Because that's what football fans like so much is, interpretive dance.
You see it down Villa Park every Saturday. You have all these people in leotards and flags and everything.
Mark, what's you're on at midday. What's happening on your show?
Well, obviously, unfortunately, and I gather you won't be listening because it's all about the World Cup, mate.
Don't take it personally, will you?
We'll be hearing from the likes of Roy Hodgson. We're looking at last night's game, which again probably passed you by. A remarkable game as Holland stuffed the defending champion Spain. We're looking back at that. We've also got live tennis between 12 and 2 as well. The Aeon Classic is in the semi-final stage, so we'll be taking in some live tennis as well between 12 and 2.
Excellent stuff. I shall be listening, but please don't take it personally.
Picture me in my lime green Speedos. That's all you need.
Beautiful stuff. Okay. Mark Regan from 12 o'clock. Thank you very much indeed. We've got 10 minutes left of the show. If you want to give us a call, now is the perfect time. What are we talking about? Topless blokes. We've talked about tats. We're talking about dogs, smacking kids. And also your tips, please. Just tell me what you're going to be doing for the next few weeks. If you're not a World Cup fan, how on earth are you going to avoid it? 03-453-009956.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM
95.6.
Whoa, just having a cheeky little stretch. Graham, are you still there?
Ian, yes.
Sorry to keep you waiting for so long, Graham. What would you like to say?
To be honest, it's given me a chance to calm down a bit. I got in the car and I heard some woman who said I had an English Bull Terrier for 6 years off a daughter, kept it in a cage in the front room, never took it off the lead when I took it out. That woman, and then in the end, I was waiting for that dog to do something. So it had an excuse that he put to sleep.
That was Marie, yes.
That woman did not want that dog from day one. From day one. She might as well, when the daughter day one, they'd have been kind to that dog to put it in a sack and drop it in the cut. I'll tell you that now.
So why that woman treated that dog? In fairness to Marie, she only put it in the cage when the grandkids were around. She didn't keep it in the cage.
You believe that? I think I was lying. I think I kept that dog in that cage probably 90% of its time.
Well, no, listen.
She didn't want the dog.
Graham, we can't say that because Marie's not here and we have to kind of take her word that she only put it in the cage. I tell you the thing that surprised me is when I kind of offered some condolences about the loss of the dog.
No, she won't bother.
That surprised me.
Ian, we had an English Bull Terrier. It was a cross between English Bull Terrier and a pit bull, American pit bull, George. Anybody who lives on Stone Cross will know our George. All the kids out of the school, all green school, they all knew him. We had to have him put to sleep 2 weeks ago, and he broke my heart. He was 16. He never bit a kid ever in his life, ever. And now you can call them wild animals. They're wild animals. They're domestic pets.
They're not. Yeah, we've domesticated them over the centuries, but they're still at heart a wild animal.
Okay, then. So if a dog bites somebody, you've got to have him put to sleep. That's what I'm saying.
Well, hang on. Where did you get that from?
Would you say that? If a dog bits somebody, that turns that dog then back into a wild animal, and you've got to have him put down in effect.
What type of bite are we talking about? Let's qualify this. What type of bite are we talking about?
If a dog actually grabs it, loses his rag, jumps on somebody and bites him, you would have that dog then has lost his. So he's no good to nobody, is he? You can't train him back.
What kind of bite is it?
A proper bite, all full mouth, proper bite, draws blood, proper bite.
Put it down.
Okay, then. Now, you're on about the World Cup. Right, there's people playing the World Cup. A bloke lost his cool, completely lost it, grabbed somebody, pulled them to him and bit him and made him bleed. What do you do with that person?
Put them in prison.
Well, why war so hard is put in prison then?
Sorry?
Bit that bloke. Why war Louis so hard is put in prison? Went in. You could have one law for one set of... Years ago, we was wild animals. That's what we were.
Hang on, Graham. I don't know the point that you're making. I don't know
if a dog loses it and bites somebody, it reverts back to type.
But what are you saying? Are you suggesting we get a prison for dogs?
No, I'm saying that. I'm saying that every dogs aren't wild animals. Dogs are domesticated pets, and if you treat them properly, look after them, get plenty of exercise. And in effect, love them, then dogs won't do that. It's the owners.
But,
the,
This is the problem I'm having with some dog owners, is their arguments are so inconsistent. So you're talking about a fictional dog that's sunk its teeth into a child and has drawn blood.
Yeah, and what, you think, it happens, doesn't it? It happens.
Okay, what do you think should happen to that dog? We just tell it off and we don't give it a bone?
No, I haven't said that. I've said that dog should be put to sleep. But you said if a dog reverts to type, it goes back to being a wild animal. So, and humans do. The football tonight, the football Graham. Tonight in all the pubs, human beings will revert to type. They'll have too much beer and they will revert to type and there will be trouble.
Yeah. I don't see the connection. I didn't say the dog reverted to being a wild animal. The dog is always a wild animal.
No, I don't think so.
Of course it is. Its inherent being is its wild animalness.
So humans are all... Well, we were wild animals years ago. We're an animal. We used to eat people.
Yeah, but we've got language. We've got art. Dogs have neither of those things. That's what separates... It's one of the many things that separates us. Sorry?
Have you know, my dog used to understand what I was telling him.
No, because the dog understands the tone of your voice. It doesn't understand the words. Dogs don't have language. They don't go around discussing things. They certainly don't go around discussing art.
What's art got to do with anything?
Because it separates us. Because we are humans. We have got art. We have got things that make our souls lift and are beautiful, and we appreciate things. Dogs don't. They're dogs.
You mean like pictures, art, or what do you mean, music, whatever?
Yeah, art. We've got art that separates us from all other creatures.
Football is an art.
Some people could consider it an art, yes.
But you don't, do you?
No, I don't.
No.
Well, I think we've...
Graham, about this woman, she shouldn't have had that dog in the first place.
Graham, thank you very much indeed.
She killed it.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Animals do not have secret art. They do not have secret cat galleries in bushes. Producer Joe is typing on my screen. The reason I threw the art in is because Graham was saying there... No, they don't. Graham was saying, you know, that we are ultimately... We're wild animals, human beings. Yeah, of course we are. But we are so much more than that. We do have... We have ways of expressing ourselves. We have language. We have art. We've got music. We've got pictures. We've got statues. We've got... dirty beds. We've got all of these things that kind of puts us on a slightly different level. And I didn't get the comparison between a footballer biting someone, if that's what happened, I don't know the story, and a dog biting someone. Yeah, if a dog bites someone, who is the dirty bed woman? What was her name? She's got the teeth and the nose. What's her name? Who's the dirty bed woman? Oh, someone, 03453009956. What? Emin, Tracy Emin. That's what I'm talking about. Tracy Emin. I've completely lost my train of thought now because I'm thinking about dirty beds. Ah, dearie, dearie me. Yeah, well, the thing is about dogs, they are inherently wild animals. And I know I've infuriated lots of you who are now going, yeah, but my dog would never do anything like that. My dog would never do anything like that. You just don't know. You just don't know, do you? Ah, dearie, dearie me. It was an unmade bed. Producer Joe, why don't you just come in and we'll have this argument on air? Or you could wait 2 minutes and we'll have the argument off air as I leave the studio. She's saying the bed was unmade, not dirty. No, it was dirty as well. It was an unmade bed and it was dirty. And didn't that bed just sell for like £1 million or something? £1 million for a dirty, unmade bed. Wowzers. I don't know if anyone had slept in it. I think that she may have done something in it. Right, listen, that's it. That's your lot. I'm going to shut up now. If you want to get in touch in the week, you're more than welcome to. You can email me, ian.lee@bbc.co.uk, ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. I spell it the proper way, just to keep you all on your toes. And if you've got any ideas for things that you think we should be talking about, if you want to carry on the conversation, then please do. If you want to send me abuse, I mean... You're kind of welcome to. I'd rather you didn't, if I was completely honest. I do get quite a lot of abuse, and I end up blocking a lot of people's emails. I'd rather you didn't. But if you do want to get in touch, you can send me an email, ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. Millie didn't get back in touch. Can we see Producer Joe next week? Can we try and get Millie on the show next week and find out what happened? Millie was going... Oh, Millie, are you there?
Ian, I thought this was open for us to talk, not you alone. We must come in to talk to help you out.
Listen, we got Millie. We got 30.
I know what time you got. You were there for long. I know. I got my
Millie. We got 20 seconds. Did you go and tell the woman off for her naughty kids?
Listen to me. I went to the lady house. Yeah.
Yes.
And the children saw me coming to the house and they ran in the house. And I rang the bell and they said, the mother said, "Who is it?" She said, "Millie." They said, "What you done now?" And she came and said, "Right, those sons of yours was up there in the tree yesterday destroying the council tree." She said to me, she said to the children, "Why are you on the tree?" And this one said, "It wasn't me. It was this one. It was
Millie,
the other one."
We'll come back next week. I've got the news. We'll find out what happened next week, shall we?
Commentary of it.
We'll have to find out what happened to Millie next week, because right now it's midday. Let's get the news with Nicole Pullman.